You're listening to a special presentation of Red Devil Sports on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF. The Oberlin Red Devils are on the air. Coverage of the Oberlin Red Devils is brought to you in part by
AquaShield Roofing, Creative Collision, Culligan of Oberlin, Decatur Co-op, Decatur County Beef, Decatur Health, Farm Credit of Western Kansas, FNB Bank of Oberlin, Frederickson Insurance Agency, High Plains Podiatry, J.D. Skiles, Next Tech, Nutrient Ag Solutions of Oberlin, R&M Service Center, Ray's Grocery, The Bank, United Northwest Federal Credit Union, FAB Construction, and Ward Drug Store, and supporting the Hoxie Indians, Painter Oil, First State Bank of Hoxie, Hoxie State Insurance, Nutrient Ag Solutions of Hoxie, Watkins Realty and Insurance, Woofeter Pump and Well, and Equity Bank.
Now, here's the voice of the Red Devils, Sam Knoll.
Welcome into another edition of Red Devil Game Day, the Week 5 edition, District Week number 2 here on 101.1 KFNF, today's Best Country, as we get you set for tonight's matchup between the Oberlin Red Devils and the Hoxie Indians. Boy, what a big game tonight. A lot at stake early in district play, and that's how we love it right here, and I'm sure that's how both Hoxie and Oberlin love it. Coming up here in our Red Devil Game Day pregame show, we'll talk a little bit about the Oberlin Red Devils win last week, as well as get you some stats from the season so far. Then we'll take a look at the scoreboard from across the state last week and what the Week 5 slate entails across the state of Kansas in 8-man Division 1, as well as some other games. Then we'll take a closer look at the Hoxie Indians, tonight's opponent, and finally cap off our Red Devil Game Day show with a pregame interview with head coach of the Red Devils, Brandon Hardwick. That's all still to come, so stick around. The Oberlin Red Devils coming off of a huge win last week against the St. Francis Indians on the road, 32-14. The Red Devils now sit with a record of 3-1 on the season and 1-0 in district play. It's the first time the Red Devils have been 3-1 since 2021, when they took down St. Francis in week 1, 56-18. Wallace County in week 2 and Sharon Springs, 18-12. Before losing to Quinter in week 3, 54-6, but wrapped around to win their district opener against Stockton 48-0 there in 2021. And if you can remember back to 2021, the 3-1 start was about the high point of the season there for the Red Devils, as the Red Devils, after that 3-1 start, would go on to lose their next 5 straight games, losing to Hoxie, Trigo, Rawlins County, Hill City, and Hodgeman County, 4 of which were by shutout. So the Red Devils do not want to repeat that this season in the year of 2024, and really looking like it would be pretty tough to repeat that, as the Red Devils have been scoring the football very, very well this season and playing defense very, very well. Let's flip it back to last week, take a closer look at that win last week for the Red Devils, 32-14 over the St. Francis Indians. Take you through your scoring summary from last week as a recapper. St. Francis opened it up with a 70-yard touchdown run from Layan Todd as they took the opening kickoff and went on a nice long drive, converting on a couple of big third downs. Then Layan Todd would run it in from 70 yards out. The two-point conversion pass from Lucas Raley would be no good, as the Red Devils would be down 6-0 with 9:54 in the first quarter of play. The Red Devils would finally get on the scoreboard after kind of trading some punts, getting an interception in the red zone, and they would take that interception and take it all the way down and turn it into points, as Josiah Pattengall would run it in from 1 yard out. The two-point conversion run from Gage Willoughby would be no good, and we'd be knotted up at 6 apiece, and that's the way we would be as we rolled over into the second quarter, where the Red Devils, just a minute into the second quarter, would score their second touchdown of the game, this one coming from Josiah Pattengall from 52 yards out. The two-point conversion would be no good by Gage Willoughby, and the Red Devils, with 11:09 to go in the first half, would leave 12-6. The Red Devils and St. Francis Indians would kind of go on a punt turnover on down streak. The Red Devils bend don't break attitude in the red zone came up key down the stretch, and the Red Devils, with 39.2 seconds to go, faced a third down and 18, and the Red Devils would instead of running a play or trying to figure out something or just taking a knee and maybe going to the halftime, they would run a play and throw up a prayer from 55 yards out. Josiah Pattengall would hit Talon Savage for a 55-yard touchdown pass. The two-point conversion Willoughby pass would be no good. The Red Devils would head into the break up 18-6. The Red Devils would take the opening drive all the way down after about a three-minute drive, and Josiah Pattengall would cap it off with a one-yard touchdown run. With 9:33 to go in the third quarter of play, the Red Devils extended their lead out to 20 at 26-6. They would add on to it to make it a 26-point lead after Caden Sowers would run it in from 14 yards out with 3:03 to go in the third quarter of play to make it 32-6. And then St. Francis would finally get on the scoreboard after in the second half having four possessions that would get inside the red zone, three of which were in goal-to-go situations. And finally, the Indians would be able to punch in a touchdown with 1 minute and 40 seconds to go to make it 32-14 after the two-point conversion run from Leon Todd would be good, and that's where our final score would remain. So the Red Devils with a 32-14 win improved to 3-1 for the first time since 2021. And last week, it was an offensive, kind of, I don't want to say weird offensive game for the Red Devils, but one where we didn't see the explosive plays from the Red Devils like we had seen in the first couple of weeks within the first two drives. The Red Devils took a little bit to get going, but when they did, the big plays started to come, and the Red Devils would cap on one after another, putting up a big drive to start the third quarter as well that didn't really see a big play, but saw them gain a lot of yards and get to the end zone with a touchdown. So certainly it was probably one of the more complete games offensively that the Red Devils have had, because they kind of had to work through a lull at the beginning, find a way to work around some turnovers as well as some penalties and everything else, and they still were able to put up 32 points last week. The Red Devils, again, were led by Josiah Pattengall, who had 24 carries for 210 yards and three touchdowns. He now has 85 carries on the season for almost 1,000 yards already. He's at 791 yards this season, 13 touchdowns, averaging almost 200 yards per game and almost 10 yards per carry. He also did throw four passes last week, went 3-for-4 for 65 yards and a touchdown, taking his passing stats to 6-of-12 for 50% on the air for 64 yards, two touchdowns and two interceptions, 27.5 yards per game. What Josiah Pattengall is averaging. Gage Willoughby, another great week behind center last week as well. He was 1-of-4 for 11 yards, but did come up with some big carries when the Red Devils needed it, especially on a couple of botched snaps. He was able to kind of go left or right and get himself a few yards. He finished with 5 carries for 13 yards, protected the ball very well, did not throw an interception for another straight week. He's now 6-of-16 for 38% on the year, 147 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception for him, 36.8 yards per game. He's got 16 carries for 81 yards on the season and 1 touchdown, averaging almost 6 yards per carry. Caden Sowers with probably one of his best weeks rushing last week for the Red Devils, as the freshman finished with 10 carries for 70 yards and a touchdown, also had a reception for 70 yards last week. He now has 28 carries for 111 yards and 4 touchdowns on the season, averaging 4 yards per carry and 27.8 yards per game. We'll talk with head coach Brandon Hardaway coming up here in just a few minutes about how big having him back there at the fullback spot has complemented Josiah Pattengall, and how he's kind of taken, you know, Josiah doesn't need to have 40 carries like he did in that Dighton game. Caden took 10 last week, was able to gain 70 yards, and really it came alive for him in the second half when you could tell St. Francis was wearing down, kind of losing their assignments, and Caden was able to make him struggle against the fullback trap and the fullback dive there in the second half. On the season, in total, he's got 5 receptions for 110 yards and 2 touchdowns, so 6 total touchdowns for Caden Sowers this season. Tyler Osmeyer did get involved this week in the receiving game with 1 reception for 11 yards. Now on the season has 3 receptions for 44 yards and 1 touchdown, averaging 11 yards per game. Talon Savage makes his first catch of the season after having 9 for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns last year. This season, just 1 reception, 55 yards, but made it count as he's got a touchdown next to his name as well. It was a beautiful pass from Josiah Pattengall on a halfback pass on 3rd down and 18, but the Red Devils drew up a great play
play and found Talon Savage wide open, streaking down the sideline. Props to him for making the catch and running it in for the 55-yard score. The Red Devils offensively as a whole this season have now scored 174 total points. That's 43.5 per game. They're averaging almost 304 yards per game, 66.5 through the air, 238 on the ground. They've thrown 5 passing touchdowns, have rushed in 18, and have only committed 5 turnovers. The Red Devils last week as a team, 368 in total, 75 through the air, 293 on the ground, and no turnovers. That was the biggest thing. Did have a few fumbles, some botched snaps that bought them back, but the Red Devils were able to dive on top of the football every single time, kept it out of the other team's hands, and if it weren't for the penalties, the Red Devils probably would have put up a few more touchdowns last week as well. Probably getting the player of the game last week was the Oberlin Red Devil defense as a whole, as in the second half, St. Francis would have 6 drives, 4 of which made it inside the red zone. 3 of those 4 got to goal-to-go situations, and the Red Devils only allowed 1 touchdown. So the red zone percentage there in the second half was 1 of 4, 25%. That's what you want as a Red Devil defense. And boy, oh boy, were they flocking to the ball, tackling guys, making them look silly there on the defensive side of the football. And coming up big, the Red Devils last week held St. Francis to just 224 through the air, a team that wants to throw the ball. That's pretty good because we've seen St. Francis throw for as many as 300 yards in a game so far this season. For the Red Devils to kind of keep them under that threshold, that's great. And they survived a 37 passing attempts from the Indians. And really got to give a big kudos to Talon Savage, who picked off a pass last week in the red zone at the 5-yard line. He was also really picked on a lot during the game. Did have a couple of penalties go against him, but came up, played huge, got some big deflections down the stretch against a St. Francis offense that wanted to get out, wanted to go, wanted to spread you out and throw the football a lot. The Red Devil defense did tremendous last week. Besides Talon Savage, the corners of Gage Willoughby, Josiah Pattengall, Caden Sowers all did a great job in pass coverage. And then the Red Devils seemed to get back there and force some sacks as well with Garrett Emick, Tyler Osmeyer, Rustin Bailey, Theodore Butterfield, all playing very, very well up front for the Red Devils. So the Red Devils will try to continue that defensive mindset tonight. The Red Devils so far this season have only given up 16 points per game on average, 64 in total. That is the lowest amount dating back all the way to 2019, where the Red Devils gave up 62 points through their first 4 games. So the Red Devils really on pace for a great season on the defensive side of the football, where last year they really struggled, averaging, giving up 38 points per game. But they really came on the defensive side of the football late, I thought anyway, with their big win against Stockton, where they allowed just 6 points. Looked very well in the first half against Rawlins County last year, same thing against Hill City, and then played big against Rock Hills and kind of limited them in a passing offense, just like St. Francis had last week. So the Red Devils will try to take that momentum from a big rivalry win last week. It was homecoming for St. Francis last week, so they played spoiler there in the homecoming night in St. Francis, getting the win 32-14. It was the Red Devils' 4th win over St. Francis in their last 5 tries. So the Red Devils will try to maybe use some of that momentum tonight against the Hoxie Indians, a team that they have not beat since 2015. It's been a while for the Red Devils. They won 36-28. That was the last time that they had beat the Hoxie Indians. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will take a look at the Week 4 scoreboard and the Week 5 slate in 8-man Division 1 across the state of Kansas. That's all still to come here on Red Devil Game Day on 101.1 KFNF.
Here come the men in black caps for all your home needs.
Say no to bad roofs.
Say yes to AquaShield Roofing.
With over 17 years of providing A-plus services. Roofs, siding, gutters, windows, doors, and spray foam insulation. Plus, AquaShield Roofing offers a workmanship warranty. For your free estimate, give them a call at 785-475-2533. AquaShieldRoofing.com.
Here come the men in black caps for all your home needs.
With the right touch, bent metal, shattered glass, and twisted frames can be restored to their original glory. At Creative Collision, they have one simple mantra: repair, restore, renew. It's about taking damaged vehicles and transforming them into something sleek, smooth, and safe. Comprehensive auto body repair and restoration. Available exclusively at Creative Collision in Oberlin, Kansas. Revive it, drive it, and love it. Call for an estimate at 785-470-2130 or visit Creative Collision's virtual garage online at creativecollisionoberlin.com.
When you think of Decatur co-op do you think about grain? Feed your livestock, horses or pets, propane, supplies? How about tires? Yes, Decatur Co-op in Oberlin has a tire shop that specializes in tire repair, along with oil changes, exhaust, front-end alignment, and major mechanical work. Bet you didn't know all that. Well, now you know. And the next time you need any of those services, think of Decatur Co-op at the railroad tracks in Oberlin. Book your appointment. Call 785-475-2234.
Decatur County Beef wants to do business with all the local farmers. They want to buy your high moisture corn and grain sorghum, also alfalfa and dry corn anytime. Decatur Beef and Hoxie Feed Yard are always looking for good help. Truck drivers, plumbers, welders, and pan riders. Decatur County Beef is located just north of Oberlin on Highway 83, and Hoxie Feed Yard is just west of Hoxie. Call 785-475-2212 for Decatur County Beef, or call Scott at 785-675-9009. Give them a try. You will be glad you did.
It's time to take a look back at the scores from last week and who's playing who this week. This is a scoreboard update on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Red Devil Game Day rolls on here on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF. Time now for your scoreboard update, where we take a look at all those scores from around the state of Kansas and 8-man Division I last week, as well as a few area teams, and give you your Week 5 slate across the state of Kansas. Last week was the first week of district action for many teams across the state of Kansas, and man, oh man, were there good Week 1 district games across the state. We'll start in District 8, the district that Oberlin is playing in this season. Hoxie was at home tonight's opponent. They took on Stockton, and the Tigers, who have not scored a point this season, continued that streak tonight. Last week, as Hoxie improved to 3-0 with a win and won 53-0. Improved to 4-0 with a win and won 53-0 over the Stockton Tigers. Rawlins County goes on the road to take down Hill City 48-28. And as you know, Oberlin last week taking down St. Francis 32-12. Across the state of Kansas, we'll start in District 1. West Elk squeaks out a win against Oswego. West Elk, a team that made it to the sectional round of the playoffs for the first time in school history last year. Building off of that this season, they're out to a 4-0 start with their 54-44 win over Oswego on the road last week. Cedar Valdexter takes Kellogg Sedan with ease 52-6 at home. And Central Burton squeaks one out against Northeast Arma in a battle of winless teams as Central Burton wins at 36-24. Northern Heights takes down Flint Hills in District 2 on the road 48-14. Chase County gets the win over Linden 40-36. That's a big win. Defending state champs now 2-2 on the season, while Chase County, who got out to a tough start at 1-2, is back to 500 with that 40-36 win. Madison gets the win against Yates Center 52-0. In District 3 action, Little River undefeated still with their 58-0 win over Goss Hill. El Saline takes down Canton Galva on the road 46-0. So El Saline, who started the season 0-1, has rattled off three straight wins. Central Plains goes on the road and takes down the Gorillas of Solomon with ease 52-6. The Oilers now 3-1 on the year. Rock Hills and Sylvan Lucas in what could have been the game of the week last week. Both teams 3-0, maybe battling for a district title early in the year. And Rock Hills was no match for Sylvan Lucas, who has a very, very great squad this season as they win over Rock Hills 60-12. Clifton Clyde goes on the road and gets the win over Lakeside 56-6. Lincoln goes at home, taking on Washington County. And Washington County, no match for the Leopards, as the Leopards get the win 50-0. In District 5 action, South Central, last year making it to the sub-state round in 8-man Division 2, was off to a great start in 8-man Division 1. Now 4-0 on the year with a 54-8 win over Kiowa County, who drops to 1-3. Oxford puts up almost 90 last week, taking down Wichita Independent 84-12. Pratt Skyline wins on the road against Udall 46-0. In District 6 action, Sublette, who was knocked out of the undefeated ranks last week, comes up with a big revenge win this week against Meade 44-6. The Kinsley Coyotes are out to a 3-1 start with their 42-6 win over Elkhart, who remains winless on the year. Spearville remains winless as well with a tough, close 20-point loss to South Gray last week.
58-38. In District 7 action, Ellis wins on the road against La Crosse 53-8. So the Railers in their first season in 8-man Division 1 are now off to a 3-1 start. Wichita County, their first week back after a bye week, takes down the Golden Eagles of Trigo, who are now winless at 0-4 on the season with a 58-8 win. Ness City squeaks one out against Quinter in probably the game of the week last week as Ness City gets the win 44-42. Other games from across the state of Kansas. Colby undefeated on the year in one heck of a thriller. If you did not go back and maybe watch the ending, Hugoton had the ball on the 10-yard line with a chance to win it on the final play of the game. They threw it into the back of the end zone. It looked like the receiver made the catch. The officials said no, and Colby hangs on to start undefeated this season with a 21-17 win. Norton continues their undefeated streak as they're now undefeated on the year at 30 with their 35-14 win over Minneapolis. Oakley gets back in the win column with a win over Syracuse 35-0. Shy-Lin takes down Northern Valley 32-14, and Golden Plains rattles off a win against Tri-Plains Brewster by a final score of 68-6. Taking a look at your Week 5 slate from across the state of Kansas, starting in District 8 action, the district that Oberlin is competing in with Hoxie, Stockton, Rollins County, St. Francis, and Hill City this year. As you know, Hoxie and Oberlin will battle it out here in just a few minutes as we continue to get you set for that one with our pregame show. Also, other district games going on tonight. Rollins County at 3-1 and 1-0 in district play is on the road, as at home, taking on the Tigers of Stockton, who are 0-4 and 0-1, still have not scored a point yet this season and haven't won a game since week 9 of 2020. St. Francis is on the road with their 3-1 overall record, 0-1 in district play, taking on the Ringnecks of Hill City, who are 2-2 and 0-1 in district play as well. District standings at the moment at the top, it's Hoxie, Oberlin, and Rollins County, and then Stockton, St. Francis, and Hill City are all tied with an 0-1 record. In District 1 action, Cedar Valdexter with their 3-1, 1-0 record in district play on the road, taking on West Elk in the game of the week this week. West Elk out to a 4-0 start and 1-0 in district play. Can the Spartans of Cedar Valdexter maybe play upset against West Elk on the road? Oswego at 2-2 and 0-1 is on the road, taking on Central Burton, who is 1-3 and 1-0 in district play. Sedan at 1-3 and 0-1 overall on the season is on the road, taking on Northeast Arma, who is 0-4 and 0-1 to start the season. In District 2 action, Madison at 2-2 and 1-0 in district play on the road, taking on Northern Heights, who is 2-2 and 1-0 in district play. So something's got to give there between those two teams. The 8th Center at 0-4 and 0-1 on the road today, taking on Chase County, who is 2-2 and 1-0. A lot of people thought Chase County would be competing maybe for the state championship this season down in Greensburg, and have gotten off to a tough start, but rallied back to get to 500 after starting the year there 1-2, now 2-2 and 1-0 in district play. Flint Hills taking on the defending state champs Linden. Flint Hills at 2-2 and 0-1 in district play on the road, taking on Linden, who is 2-2 and 0-1. Little River, who is up there, is in many polls as the number one team in the state, along with Hoxie. Little River at 4-0 so far in this season, and 1-0 in district play on the road this week, taking on Canton Galvel at 2-2 and 0-1. Central Plains, the Oilers, 3-1 and 1-0 in district play on the road, taking on Gosselle at 1-3 and 0-1. Solomon at 0-4 and 0-1 is on the road, taking on El Saline at 3-1 and 1-0 in district play. El Saline with three straight wins. The Cardinals from Brookville are hot after losing their first game of the season. Sylvan Lucas at 4-0. Watch out for them to be tough come postseason time. They're on the road taking on Lakeside. Sylvan Lucas 4-0 and 1-0 overall. Lakeside 1-3 and 0-1. Lincoln at 3-1 and 1-0 in district play is on the road, taking on Rock Hills, who is 3-1 and 0-1 in district play so far this season. The Leopards trying to pick up a big win. Rock Hills at home trying to stay in the district title race with a win over the Leopards tonight. Washington County at 0-4 and 0-1 is on the road, taking on Clifton Clyde, who's 2-2 and 1-0 overall on the season. Wichita Independent in District 5 action is on the road, taking on South Central. Wichita Independent winless this season overall and in the district. South Central undefeated on the year at 4-0 and 1-0 in district play. Oxford at 3-1 and 1-0 in district play on the road, taking on Pratt Skyline, who's 2-2 and 1-0. Udall at 0-1 in district play and 0-4 overall on the road, taking on Kiowa County, who's 1-3 and 0-1 in district play. Spearville at 0-4 and 0-1 in district play, and District 6 is on the road taking on Kinsley. The Coyotes looking to avenge that early round exit last year in the 8-man D2 playoffs. Are off to a great start at 3-1 and 1-0 in district play. The Larks of Sublette off to a 3-1 start and 1-0 in district play on the road taking on Elkhart, who is 0-4 and 0-1. Meade at 1-3 and 0-1. The Buffaloes on the road taking on South Gray, who is 2-2-1-0 coming off of that 20-point close win over Spearville last week. Trigo, who has faced four tremendously tough teams to start the season, now gets another tough one tonight as they take on the Railers of Ellis. Ellis so far this season, 3-1 and 1-0 in district play. The Golden Eagles, the district champs from last year, 0-4 and 0-1 in district play so far. Wichita County, 2-1 and 1-0 overall on the road, taking on Ness City, who's 1-3 and 1-0 after squeaking out that big district win last week against Quinter, 44-42. Quinter is on the road at 0-4 and 0-1, taking on the Leopards of La Crosse, who is 0-4 and 0-1 as well. Other games from around the state of Kansas and in the area. Holcomb is on the road visiting Colby, who's off to an undefeated start. Norton takes their undefeated record on the road to take on the always tough Beloit Trojans. Oakley, the Plainsmen, at home taking on the Plainville Cardinals. Weskin on the road taking on Shylin. Northern Valley is on the road taking on Golden Plains. In college football, coming up tomorrow, the Kansas State Wildcats are on bye this week. They'll be back in action coming up again next week when they travel to take on the Buffaloes of Colorado. This week, though, Kansas is on the road after a tough home loss last week. The Jayhawks 1-4 after a season with so much promise. They basically got to win five games here throughout the next couple of weeks to make a bowl game even and see if the Jayhawks can do it. It could start tomorrow as they take on the Arizona State Sun Devils in Tempe, 7 o'clock p.m. Central start time with coverage on ESPN2. The Nebraska Cornhuskers with a big win last week. It was 10-3 in the fourth quarter, and the Huskers put on the Jets for a scoring implosion in the fourth quarter of play to get the win 28-10 over Purdue. Now they are at home this week taking on Rutgers. 3 p.m. start time there for kickoff with coverage on FS1. Also, I do have a note to pass along as well. The Little Red Devils, the 4th through 6th graders there on the Little Red Devil football tackle team, are out to a great start. They've only got one loss on the season, and they will be Dighton on they will play Dighton this week at 2 o'clock on Saturday. So if you got some time, go check it out as they take on the Hornets. But congrats to them, off to a great start, just one loss on the season. Well, that'll do it for this week's scoreboard update. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take a closer look at the Hoxie Indians. That's also to come here in Red Devil Game Day on 101.1 KFNF.
I keep telling you, these folks are good at real healthcare, which means they're always working to improve healthcare outcomes for their patients. To that end, Decatur Health in Oberlin is part of the Get With The Guidelines, a national program to improve outcomes for stroke patients. Not only is Decatur Health a part of the GWTG program, they recently received a bronze award for their continued improvement and work with that program. Once again, proving the healthcare professionals at Decatur Health are passionate about your well-being. Decatur Health, where passion and healing come together.
Farm Credit of Western Kansas is synonymous with giving back to the community and its members. Whether it's attending events such as wheat plot tours, serving on various boards and committees, volunteering at local county fairs, or delivering $5.5 million in cash patronage checks, Farm Credit of Western Kansas is community driven. Stop in at 1190 South Range in Colby or one of our convenient outpost offices. Farm Credit of Western Kansas, financing ag for generations.
Should be simple and convenient. With FNB Bank, it is. Whether online, by phone, or with a debit card, accessing your money has never been easier. Imagine managing your finances from the comfort of your home or on the go with just a few taps. FNB Bank in Oberlin, Kansas makes it all possible, ensuring you have control of your banking 24/7. Experience the convenience of modern banking with FNB Bank. Visit fnbbank.com today.
insurance, it seems like you can never have enough. And when it comes to peace of mind, it's good to have the right insurance in place. Fredrickson Insurance Agency in Overland can help you do just that. Fredrickson's can help with supplemental insurance for your home, farm, business, auto, and yes, even your crop. Fredrickson's will help you find the best plan from the best companies. Insurance, get the best from Fredrickson Insurance Agency next to the Landmark in downtown Overland. 785-475-3883.
Let's take a look at tonight's opponent. It's time for Red Devil Opposition on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Red Devil Game Day continues here on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF, as we move our way into Red Devil Opposition, taking a closer look at tonight's opponent, the Hoxie Indians. The Indians off to a great start and really a battle-tested team so far through the first 4 weeks of the year, as the Hoxie Indians out to a 4-0 start, 1-0 in district play, 2-0 at home and 2-0 on the road. The Indians so far this season in week one have took down Osborne 20-14. That was probably their biggest game of the season. I mean, they'll have some big games coming up, but so far through the first 4 weeks, probably their biggest game yet, as Osborne was ranked within the top two or three in 8-man Division II to start the season, and they take down the Bulldogs in their house 20-14. It was a game that was back and forth, a true defensive 8-man battle, and the Indians came out on top 20-14. They took down Trigo in week two with ease 50-0, and then Ellis, a team that had put up almost 200 points for their first two games of the, well, not almost two, but over 100 points for their first two games of the season. They take them down on the road 54-8. So really didn't have any problems with them. And then Stockton last week. Stockton has not won a game since week 9 of 2020 and has not scored a point this season. And they held that true last week to the Indians, beating the Tigers 53-0. Hoxie coming off of a year last year where they really felt like they were snake bitten and thought they had a chance of maybe knocking off the always tough Wichita County in a sub-state round of the playoffs. But they came up just a game short from even meeting them, as the El Saline Cardinals beat them in the sectional round of the playoffs last year, 44-42. It was a late touchdown run by Duncan Bell to get them within 2 points. They went for the two-point conversion and came up just about a half inch short. Yes, that's all that stopped them from tying that game up and maybe sending it to overtime there in the fourth quarter of play. The Indians, who lost in week three last year, rattled off a total of 7 straight wins to get to their 9-2 record, making it all the way to the sectional round of the playoffs, and looking for more this year as they return practically everybody but their star fullback from last season. But other than that, the offensive line did have some holes that have been filled by players that were on the team last year and are on the team again this year. But other than that, the main core of group skill guys remains the same for the Hoxie Indians from last year, and their under head coach Lance Barr, who's got over 100 wins in his career and makes it look really easy. Something of note, the Indians so far this season have not allowed a point in the first quarter, and they've scored 82 points to their opponents, nothing in the first quarter. So certainly going to be something interesting to see if the Red Devils can get started early, maybe break that streak for the Indians, who have not allowed a point in the first quarter over their first 4 games. Offensively, the Hoxie Indians, after a tough first game where they didn't have a lot of yards, have had a lot of yards over their last 3 games, but not as many as you'd expect. And they're averaging 264 so far on the season, 118 through the air and 145 on the ground. Kind of more of a balanced Lance Barr team than as of the past few years, where you would see a lot of rushing yards there, not so many passing yards. But with a quarterback like Duncan Bell, he feels very confident to be able to pass the football and sling it around. So a little bit more of a balanced offense this season from the Indians than of years past, as they have 8 passing touchdowns, 13 rushing TDs, and just 4 turnovers on the year, all of them being interceptions. They have not fumbled the football yet this season. The offense starts and runs through Duncan Bell, the 5'10", 180-pound senior quarterback so far on the year, 28 of 60 for 46% for 465 yards and 7 touchdowns, has thrown 4 picks, has 19 carries for 124 yards and 4 more scores. This is coming off of a season last year in which he threw for over 1,500 yards, 22 touchdowns to just 1 interception, had 487 yards on the ground and 14 touchdowns. So it's a guy that's turned it over a little bit this morning. this year more with the throw, but he's a guy that is very, very smart back there. He's a state wrestling champion a couple of times over. He's going to be very, very tough for the Red Devils to go up against tonight, especially against a 3- or 4-man front that the Red Devils have taken really, really key in this season. The defensive line is going to be the mainstay. They're going to have to step up big and try to stop him out of the quarterback spot tonight. But then if you stop Duncan Bell, well, he'll probably pitch it, throw it, or do something with it to get it to one of his other weapons, including Braden Sheets. Sheets this season so far on the year, 29 carries for 175 yards and 5 touchdowns. At 726 last year, and then as a sophomore, racked up nearly almost 1,100 yards. So he's gained a lot of yards for the Hoxie Indians in his career, scored a lot of touchdowns. He's scored 5 on the ground this season, none through the air, but does have 6 receptions for 89 yards. Can't forget about the fullback complement that they have with Easton Nicholson. Nicholson, 10 carries, 34 yards, and a touchdown of the season. But he's more involved in the receiving game, and that's kind of how Lance Barr kind of plays his fullbacks. He loves them to block and then loves them to catch some passes. And Easton this season has caught 7 passes for 85 yards and 2 touchdowns. Also in the passing game, look for Braxton Monk, probably the only true wide receiver per se on the team. Monk this season, 11 receptions, 192 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He's almost to his total already from last year, as he had just had 27 receptions, 294, and 2 touchdowns. He had 1 reception for 23 yards and a touchdown last week. Trent Finner at the tight end spot has not had a catch this season, but can be deadly when called upon. He had 3 receptions, 28 yards, and a touchdown last season. Sam Watkins, more of the deadly tight end in the receiving game. He's got 4 receptions this season for 99 yards and 3 touchdowns. Had 26 receptions last year for 432 and 4 touchdowns. So it's definitely a Hoxie offense that can score points when they need to, as they've put up 50 in their last 3 straight games, as they have scored 50 or more in 3 straight games for the first time since 2021, when they beat Stockton 80-0, Rawlins County 52-14, and Wichita County 66-58. So the Indians certainly have been known to score a lot of points and have scored a lot of points over the last few seasons, and wouldn't expect to see anything different tonight. Could see a shootout from each of these two teams, but the Indians defensively are very, very sound as well, as last week to Stockton allowed negative yards to the Tigers, caused a ton of panic, and that was only with most of the JV guys playing the game. When they have the regular starters in, they are a menace on the defensive side of the football, with 15 tackles for loss and 2 sacks so far this season, including 7 interceptions, 5 forced fumbles, and 5 fumble recoveries. All of last year, Hoxie just had 12 interceptions, 6 forced fumbles, and 6 fumble recoveries, so they've almost matched that through the first 4 weeks of the season. They also averaged 56.3 tackles per game, 89 of which of those are solos. It's crazy, crazy, crazy how good of a defense this team is, as they return a lot of their starters from last season, really being led up front this year by Sam Watkins, Malcolm King, and Trent Finner. Watkins, 22 tackles on the year, including 2 sacks. He averages has 3 tackles for loss, 5.5 tackles per game. Malcolm King, 3.3 tackles per game. He's got a tackle for loss and a forced fumble. Trent Finner on the year, 8 solo tackles, has a total of 19, 4.8 per game, 3 tackles for loss. He's also blocked a punt this season as well. At the linebacker core, look out for Easton Nicholson. That's who commands the defense. Easton, 70 tackles, 31 solos, 39 assists, 17.5 tackles per game, 3 tackles for loss and an interception, coming off of a year in which he just had 92 tackles, so he's over halfway there, and if he has a 20-tackle night tonight, could maybe, you know, go over what his season total was last year and be on his way to 100 tackles through the first beginning part of the season. Braden Sheets has also had a good year, 6 tackles for him. And then on the other side of the linebacker core, Matt Bretz, the sophomore, kind of one of the new guys for this Hoxie Indian lineup, 37 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, an interception, and 3 forced fumbles. And then you get the ball hawking Duncan Bell and Braxton Monk in the defensive back spots. Duncan Bell with 3 interceptions this season and 16 tackles. Braxton Monk, 2 interceptions and 17 tackles on the season. It's a Hoxie Indian defense that is not going to allow a lot of points and a lot of touchdowns as well, and a lot of yards, as they have allowed just 22 points so far this season. 2 shutouts already. The only points they've allowed, 14 to Osborne and 8 to Ellis. So A great offense meets up with a great defense. A great defense meets up with a great offense. Something's got to give, and we'll play it out on the gridiron tonight to see who it will be. Hoxie and Oberlin coming up tonight. That'll do it for Red Devil Opposition. When we come back, we sit down with head coach of the Oberlin Red Devils, Brandon Hardwick, get his thoughts on the season, what he expects to see out of the Hoxie Indians tonight. That's all still to come here on Red Devil Game Day on 101.1 KFNF.
A step towards better health. High Plains Podiatry.
If you've tried everything to get rid of your warts, High Plains Podiatry offers innovative Swift microwave therapy. Swift is clean and unevasive to get rid of your warts, leaving no blisters or scarring. And it doesn't even need bandages. Move on from warts with amazingly effective wart removal technique from High Plains Podiatry. Call 345-3773 or visit highplainspodiatry.com.
Forget the flashy ads and gimmicks. Farmers, you need fertilizer equipment you can trust. J.D. Skiles in Atwood, Kansas delivers what truly matters, integrity and innovation. From custom fertilizer trailers and pit stop chemical systems to liquid fertilizer systems, they've got it all. Need more efficient spraying equipment? They have the most innovative ATV and UTV sprayers available. No frills, just quality. Visit them online at jdskiles.com or 101 Grant Street in Atwood, Kansas today. J.D. Skiles, where farmers meets excellence without compromise.
Are you looking for the best internet service in town? Look no further than Nextech, your local provider that offers true gig speed and full fiber internet. With Nextech, your home can enjoy unlimited data and no contracts. When you need help, a Nextech employee in Kansas is ready to take your call any day of the week. Experience seamless connectivity with Nextech home internet for just $69, and your first bill is even on us. Don't settle. Visit next-tech.com to learn more.
In a time of uncertainty and volatility, one thing has remained unchanged. Nutrien still stands as a proud partner with hardworking farmers and ranchers, working diligently to help put your inputs in the right place at the right time. Nutrien works alongside you to make the most of your investments, offering multiple cash discounts, financing programs, and field-by-field recommendations. Nutrien helps pave the way for a successful start to your cropping season. Contact your local Nutrien today for trusted, knowledgeable, agronomical expertise.
Time to sit down and talk with head coach Brandon Hardwick on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Welcome back into Red Devil Game Days. We continue to get you set and ready to go for tonight's matchup between the Oberlin Red Devils and the Hoxie Indians. Joined alongside with head coach of the Red Devils, Brandon Hardwick. Boy coach, week two of district action already. And first home district game of the season for you. Not the first overall home game, but first time you get a district opponent at home. It's crazy that we're over a month into the season now. Second district game, the weeks they stack up and they get quicker and quicker, don't they?
Yep, every week seems like it goes faster and faster.
And this week, you guys welcome in the Hoxie Indians. Want to flip it back to last week. Got a big win on the road over rival St. Francis there. It was kind of back and forth in that first quarter. And then in the first half, really, it could have went either way. Made a couple of big plays down the stretch to kind of give yourself a halftime lead. And then two really great drives in the third quarter to kind of bolster that lead. And you guys walk away with a 32-14 win. I guess, what were your thoughts after the St. Francis win last week?
I was happy with, the way we played, our effort, and, just how hard we played. I thought we were pretty good assignment-wise. But the big thing for us was the penalties. That really killed a lot of drives for us. It helped them out a lot. So that was the big thing that we were talking about all week, was we can't have a game with that many penalties again.
Yeah, and that's something that, I'm sure you say to the team, hey, that's something that we can control too. I mean, obviously the officials are the ones calling the penalties, but some of those, the false starts or the delay of game, that's just where we need to get better, assignment sound, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we control what we can control. We can't always control if it's a holding call or a PI or anything like that, up to their discretion, but we can definitely control us jumping offside, false start, and things like that.
And like you kind of mentioned, sometimes it felt like, especially in the second half there, after you guys were able to score a couple of those touchdowns, a couple of your drives, you get into St. Francis territory and get backed up with some of those penalties. And that's a great example to show to the guys of, hey, we probably could have put up more than 32 points last week. If we kind of limit those mistakes and limit those turnovers, it allows to keep going on those long drives, right?
Exactly. And that's what I was telling the kids. Like, I think we could have put up a couple more for sure in the second half, but you know, we just had good drives get killed by a 5-yard penalty here, a 10-yard there, or a fumbled snap, things like that. They really kill a drive quick.
And you know, one thing that really was stellar though last week for you was your defense. I mean, what a tremendous job they did. First drive, St. Francis goes down and scores, and they really responded after that and didn't allow them to score again until the fourth quarter. And there were so many multiple times throughout the game where they had the ball with inside the 10 or with inside the red zone there, and you guys were able to send them back on a turnover on downs. So you had to be really happy with maybe not at the start of those drives, but the way they finished off those drives and got your offense the football back, right?
Yeah, we are. And Sandy came out swinging there. They're a solid football team. They had a good scheme for us. Might have caught our guys off guard a little bit, but like you said, those red zone stands that we had, I think there's a couple in the second half where, you know, like they were inside our 10 and we kept them out a couple times. So, yeah, we've been able to rely on our defense a lot so far these last few weeks, and you know that helps us out a lot offensively.
Yeah,
time to be able to figure out what's working for us.
Yeah, and like you said, you know, rely on the defense to kind of get you the ball back. And it seems like whenever you guys have been able to, you know, if the team does get into that red zone, you guys have been able to stand with your backs against the wall and defend your end zone very, very well this season. I guess what's been the key for your defense when the other team gets into the red zone?
So bend, don't break. Bend, don't break, you know. Stop that explosive play. You know, we'll just keep doing your sign, keep doing your job, you know, be responsible, and eventually, you know, something's good's going to happen for us. Maybe they'll get a penalty, maybe they'll drop a pass, but you know, just don't let one big play, you know, get you down or anything like that. Just continue to do your job and trust your teammates to do their job. And so far, it's worked out really well for us.
And offensively last week, obviously, you know, a couple of drives that I'm sure you'd like to have back, but still a great week on the offensive side of the football. Put up more than 30 points again this season, and you know, I felt like last week's game was a little bit different than the three games you played, where you've kind of maybe had to work your way into, you know, getting some of those big plays because St. Francis was throwing some punches there on the defensive side with how hard they were playing. But you guys just kind of kept, you know, taking your chinks in their armor and got some big plays there before the end of the half. So got to be happy with the way the offense, you know, kept going and didn't, you know, lax off there after the first couple of drives, right?
Yeah, you know, some of those drives, they weren't just, you know, we didn't score in the opening play like we have been. So we actually had to sustain a little bit of drive, and, you know, at times we were good. I think our drive in the third quarter, we took up a lot of time. We were very consistent, moved the ball down the field, popped off a couple big plays, but really we had to drive the whole field. And like you said, our guys figured out, too, when we're not able to bust, you know, that 50-yard touchdown play, that the penalties and stuff are big, the miscommunications, fumbled snaps. Those are big, but yeah, we were able to sustain a few drives pretty well on Friday.
Yeah, and you mentioned that third quarter drive, the first one you got right out of the get-go there. You drove it all the way down the field and scored in 3 or 4 minutes, and I know we've been talking, that's kind of how you want, you know, to go. Obviously, you want the 50-yard, you know, touchdown runs or passes or whatever. You'll take those. But that was a nice, long, clean drive. It seemed like you guys were just able to move it down the field, and, you know, if you do that every single week, it's going to put a lot of pressure on opponents, isn't it?
It does, especially by the time you get to that third quarter, fourth quarter. I think we're starting to wear teams out a little bit by then with our run game. So, yeah, it's just telling our guys, just stick with us, trust what we're doing, and, you know, we'll find stuff that works. Just stick to what we got.
And, you know, one guy that really excelled in the rushing game last week, obviously Josiah had a great week, and he's had a really great start this season. But Caden, you know, hasn't had that big, you know, offensive rushing game per se. He's had some great games on the receiving side for you. But last week he put it all together, had 70 yards rushing and a touchdown. And it's really great to have him as a compliment to Josiah, you know, who can get out there on the corners and run. But, you know, Caden loves to go in between the tackles behind his O-lineman and run it rough and tough. And he's a great compliment to Josiah, isn't he?
It definitely is now. You know, I told Josiah that after the Dighton game, I don't need to have him rushing 34 times a game anymore. We got to have some guys to help him out, and Caden is starting to step up and get everything figured out right. You know, he's starting to figure out where the holes are supposed to be. He's starting to run downhill a lot more, like you said. He's quit doing the side-to-side thing. But, yeah, he stepped up big for us last week, and we're looking to be able to see if he can keep building on that and continue to be a threat in our rushing game.
And, you know, we kind of mentioned Josiah had a great week rushing last week, also threw a big touchdown pass for you. That's kind of the second time this season that I can remember where you guys have had third down and long there and been able to score a touchdown on it using Josiah. I think he ran one in. This time he throws it. So to kind of have him as a threat back there, either throwing it or running it, especially on a third down and long play, that's got to bolster your offense a little bit, right?
It is. It's nice when teams, you know, even third and long, we might be able to run that ball and get it, and also we can come out in the same look and be able to throw it with them too. It is a little tough for defenses to be able to adjust with.
And, you know, we kind of flip it back over to the defensive side of the football. You know, everyone was just flocking to the ball. But I felt like one guy that had a really, really great game that maybe we hadn't talked about a lot this season was Talon Savage. I felt like St. Francis was wanting to pick on him a lot throughout the game. He came up with a big interception, had a couple of penalties go against him. But other than that, I thought, you know, he really played well, came up with some big deflections against a St. Francis offense that threw it 40 times against you guys. So you had to be really happy with the way he played, didn't you?
I am. You know, I thought we knew going in they were going to test our corners a lot, and they rose up to the occasion. And like you said, when there's 40 passes, there's going to be a couple of PIs. There's going to be a couple of penalties, but I thought he played great. Him and Jesse Hendrickson, you know, he stepped up. He came off the sideline ready to play. I couldn't be more happy with how they performed and everything. They looked good.
And now you get another tough opponent this week in the Hoxie Indians. Hoxie coming up here. They're 4-0, off to an undefeated start. They're battle-tested, too, have played some really good teams and beat them pretty handily as well. So they're going to be a tough team tonight, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Like you said, they haven't had an easy schedule either. They've played, you know, they beat a tough Osborne team. Ellis, who was ranked for a little bit. They've beat a Waukini, who's a tough team. They've been through the ring already, but I think our guys are excited for the game this week. They know it's a big one. You know, we got the feeling that we're kind of maybe the underdogs again, so we're excited for it.
Yeah, and we kind of talked about that underdog thing a couple of weeks ago about how you guys have really kind of maybe relished that fact of, hey, you know, there's not going to be a lot of games where we walk into where that other team, you know, is saying, hey, we're looking out for Oberlin this year. And kind of just like in that Dighton game where it almost seemed like you kind of surprised Dighton. They were on their heels. That's how you want this game to go, right? You get out, jump out in front early on a team like Hoxie and you know, maybe put some doubt in their mind, right?
Yeah, it'd be great if we can get them on the ropes early and get them thinking. But I think they're ready for us. That's a pretty big rivalry for us lately. I know it hasn't gone our way for quite a while, but I think both teams will be excited for this and ready to get up for it.
And, you know, we talked about the district last week with St. E. being 1-0 and undefeated. Now you get Hoxie, who's 1-0 in the district and undefeated. You guys are 1-0. I mean, it's just a tough district. And every week it seems, you know, it's kind of, you know, you played St. Francis last week. It's like, oh, man, you know, who do we got next week? And it's Hoxie. Oh, my goodness. So, you know, I'm sure it's really nice as well to know that you're going to be playing a tough team every single week in the district, isn't it?
Yeah, like you said, it's a tough district. You never know what's going to happen. You know, anything can happen on it. You know, teams can upset other teams all the time. So you never feel safe with where you're at. You know, even if you're sitting number one for a little bit or number two. You know, I thought that Atwood beating Hill City was a pretty big surprise for me. So again, that they all matter. Every single one matters. You better get ready to go for each game.
Well, Coach, thanks for being able to take the time and talk with us. Good luck tonight.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Once again, that was head coach Brandon Hardwick giving us his thoughts on the season so far and what he expects to see out of the Hoxie Indians tonight. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, it's out live to the field for starting lineups and then kickoff between Oberlin and Hoxie right here on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Where hometown charm meets fresh market dreams. Ray's Grocery in downtown Oberlin is a feast for the senses. Hand-picked produce, sizzling steaks, and hearty roasts await your dinner table. Quality soars in every aisle. And when the lunch bell rings, their deli dishes out delights that'll turn your midday meal into a culinary escape on select days. See store for details. Shopping at Ray's is a breeze, leaving the heavy lifting to them as they escort your groceries right to your car. Experience the difference at Ray's Grocery. Fresh, friendly, and always local. Ray's Grocery in downtown Oberlin.
Your old grill
Grill has served you pretty well and served you up some pretty tasty meals over the years. Why not treat yourself to a grill that's portable? Yeah, a Halo Grill, where smoke meets innovation. Available at R&M Service Center in Oberlin. The Prime Series of battery-powered pellet grills from Halo offers a versatile outdoor cooking solution that offers real smoke flavor and quality performance. With four different sizes available, you could even take one camping. Learn more about the Halo Grills at R&M Service Center, downtown Oberlin.
Is the difference between going to the bank and going to the bank. When you go to the bank, it's just,
hello, welcome to the bank. How can we bore you?
But when you go to the bank,
hi, welcome to the bank. How can we help you?
And that help is offered to you in 13 Northern Kansas locations to help your financial goals become a reality. From services and loans to state-of-the-art financial products, come to where the difference is better. The bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
School year with an everyday spend reloadable prepaid card from United Northwest Federal Credit Union. This personalized prepaid card can help you conveniently budget for school essentials from food to supplies. It is safer to use than cash, can be managed and reloaded anytime, anywhere using your digital device, and is compatible with mobile wallets. Sign up by calling 785-475-2322 or stopping by one of our branches in Oberlin or Norton. Equal housing lender, NCUA insured.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Hi again, everybody, and welcome to Smick Memorial Field, where we're just about set and ready to go for Oberlin Red Devil Football Week 5 edition here tonight. And man, oh man, it's a beautiful night for football here in Oberlin, Kansas, with just right around 70 degrees here at kickoff. Could get as low as into the high 60s by the end of the game. That's what we love. It's October football, finally in the state of Kansas. Let's run you through our starting lineups. We'll start with the Oberlin Red Devil offense. On the offensive line, it'll be Garrett Emick, who will be a guard slash tight end, 5'11", 218-pound senior. Rustin Bailey, the 177-pound sophomore at the guard spot. At the other guard spot, it's Gus Emick, 238-pound sophomore. At the center spot, Caden Shaw, 225-pound sophomore. At the tight end spot, 210-pound junior Tyler Ostmeyer. At the quarterback spot, it's Gage Willoughby, 160-pound sophomore. Josiah Pattengall at the running back spot at 174 pounds and is a sophomore. Caden Sowers, the freshman at 162 pounds, will fill up the fullback spot. The Oberlin Red Devil defense tonight at the defensive end spots, it'll be 218-pound senior Garrett Emick and 210-pound junior Tyler Ostmeyer. At the nose guard spot, we'll see both Theodore Butterfield, 185-pound junior, and Gus Emick, 238-pound sophomore. At the linebacker spots, you will see Rustin Bailey, 177-pound sophomore. Josiah Pattengall, 174-pound sophomore. Caden Sowers, 162-pound freshman. And at the defensive back spots, it'll be Gage Willoughby, 160-pound sophomore. And Talon Savage, who had a pick last week, 145-pound senior. Starting lineups for the Hoxie Indians under head coach Lance Barr, who's got over 100 wins in his career, has been at Hoxie for a long 10-year now, and has taken them kind of from the lowest of lows to the highest of highs, winning that state championship in 2017, and have been longing to get back there since then, and we're trying to do it this year as the number one rated team in the state by many polls. They got to deal with them and Little River. Wichita County could be in there as well. It's going to be a great finish and see who's going to be in Greensburg come the end of the season. Take you through their starting lineups. At the guard spots, it'll be 6 foot, 180-pound senior Charlie Foote and 5 foot, 250-pound senior Malcolm King. At the center spot, it is 5 foot, 11, 175-pound senior Max Beckman. At the tight end spots, 5'8", 175-pound senior Trent Fenner, and 6'1", 205-pound senior Sam Watkins. At the quarterback spot, it's 5'10", 180-pound senior Duncan Bell. At the running back spot, 5'7", 180-pound senior Braden Sheets. And at the fullback spot, 5'11", 180-pound senior Easton Nicholson.
Hoxie has won the toss, chose to defer, so Oberlin will start with the football to start the game. Hoxie will get it to start the second half. So that was the result of the coin toss as the captains for the Oberlin Red Devils, Josiah Patton, Gall Talon Savage, along with Rustin Bailey and Tyler Osmeyer come running back off the field, and we're just seconds away from kickoff. Finish off our starters on the defensive side of the football for the Indians. It's at the DN spot, 6'1", 205-pound senior Sam Watkins and 5'8", 170-pound junior Trent Finner. The nose guard spot, Malcolm King, 5'9", 250 senior. At the linebacker spots, it's Matt Brett, 6'1", 195-pound sophomore. Easton Nicholson, 5'11", 180-pound senior. Braden Sheets, 5'7", 180-pound senior. And then at the defensive back spots, it's Duncan Bell, 5'10", 180-pound senior, and Braxton Monk, 5'7", 140-pound senior. So those are the starting lineups, and we are set and ready to go for Oberlin Red Devil football against rival Hoxie here from Smick Memorial Field. Been waiting for this one all week, and so have the Red Devil faithful. They were packed in 2 hours before the contest out in the parking lot, grilling up hot dogs and hamburgers and talking about tonight's game. It's going to be a good one. Hoxie and Oberlin, 4-0, 3-1, 1-0 in district play, and it'll all get decided on the gridiron. And here's the kick. It'll be a low end-over-end spinner. It'll bounce at the 5 and roll out of bounds. And so Oberlin will take over on their first possession, first down and 10 from the 15-yard line. And talking with some of the players before the game, they know how much of a game this is going to be of to really show how improved Oberlin is from a year ago. Hoxie beat Oberlin 46-0 on their homecoming last year in Hoxie, and Oberlin remembers that like it was yesterday, and they want to make that not this year. So Gage Willoughby will go under center for the first snap of the game. Josiah Patton, Galt at tip of the eye, takes a snap, fakes the handoff. It's a QB design run. Willoughby cuts back up, gets across the 15, makes his way out to about the 16-yard line for a nice pickup of 1, and the clock starts to move. 11:50 and counting to go here in the first quarter of play. So QB keeper, very interesting there, call from none other head coach Brandon Hardwick, who usually likes to go to Josiah Patton goal on the first run, but instead he dials it up for his quarterback, who picks up a yard. It'll bring up second down and 9 for the Red Devils from the 16-yard line. 11 minutes, 30 seconds and counting to go in the first quarter of play. Red Devils want a nice long drive all the way throughout the first quarter. That's what they'd love. Willoughby will go under center. Sowers directly behind him. Takes the snap. Fullback trap up their middle. Sowers meets the defensive line. Spins off of him and then goes to the left before he's finally wrapped up and brought down to the ankles. And it'll bring up third down here after another pickup of 1. They're going to say 2 there for Caden Sowers. It'll bring up third down and 7. So the Red Devils have kept it on the ground twice. See if they want to go through the air here on 3rd and 7. Have not handed it off to Josiah Patton-Gall yet. Patton-Gall last week had another great week on the offensive side of the football. 24 carries, 210 yards, and 3 touchdowns. He's back there at the tip of the eye formation here. One receiver out to the left. Willoughby takes a snap. It's a pitch to Patton-Gall. Patton-Gall to 15 to the 20. Still on his feet before it'll be wrapped up and brought down on the near side of the field here on the Oberlin sideline. Right at about the 20-yard line. Needed to get out to the 25 if they wanted to get the first down. So Josiah Patton-Gall is able to pick up 2 yards, but it's not enough there, and the Red Devils will have to punt on their first possession of the game. So 3 straight runs for Brandon Hardwick and his squad, and just like that, it is a punt situation here, and it'll be Caden Sowers to punt it away. 10:39 to go in the first quarter. Clock stopped as he ran out of bounds. Here's Sowers. It's a high pooch kick that'll be making its way out of bounds, and this is going to be a bad punt. Goes off the side of the foot of Sowers. It didn't even reach the 40-yard line. They're going to mark this all the way back inside the 30-yard line. Called it about the 27, and that's where the Hoxie Indians will start with the football. So great field position for head coach Lance Bard and his squad. With 10:39 to go with the first quarter of play, nothing score. Oberlin goes 3 and out on their first drive, and here comes the high-powered offense of the Hoxie Indians. A little more balanced this year than years past, and it'll be led by Duncan Bell, the senior quarterback who threw just 1 interception last year, already has 4 this season, but that's the only turnovers Hoxie has made. Bell out of the shotgun. He's got one receiver out to the right, takes a snap, pitches it off to Sheets at the 30. He cuts back there, still on his feet, 25 to the 20. Cuts back, 15, 10, 5, all the way inside the 5-yard line before he's wrapped up and brought down. Saving the touchdown is Josiah Pattengill. And one play just like that on one rip takes it inside from about the 26, from about the 28-yard line to inside the 5 at the 2, they're going to call it. And so it'll be pickup of 26 yards for Braden Sheets on the first play of the game. It was basically student body to the left, and then he cut back to the right, cut back to the left, cut back to the right, and was finally drugged down. And now I formation here for the Indians. Sheets at the tip of the eye, takes a snap, hands it off to him. Off right tackle, and he's in for the touchdown. So it didn't take long. That high-powered Hoxie offense is into the end zone on two plays, and it's 6-0 Indians with 10-12 to go in the first quarter of play. So Braden Sheets, two rushes, 28 yards, and a touchdown. And it's with 10-12 to go, it's 6-0. It was a bad punt from Caden Sowers, went off the side of his foot and went out of bounds before the 40-yard line, but it's where it goes out of bounds in the air, and that marked it inside the 30 at about the 28-yard line. Now Bell will go under center again. Quick snap, hands it off to Sheets off the right side, and Rustin Bailey will wrap him up and bring him down. So the Red Devils stop the bleeding there with a nice stop on the two-point conversion. But Hoxie takes care of the short field with two plays, and they make it 6-0 with 10-12 to go in the first quarter of play. This is Oberlin Red Devil football here on 101.1 KFNF.
Improve efficiency and add value to your property with a functional and well-designed workshop from the experts at VAP Construction. With a new limited-time special offer, they're making it even more affordable to get a new workshop with a power lift door that creates maximum versatility for ag machinery, aircraft, commercial operations, and more. Learn more and cash in on this offer today at VAPConstruction.com. That's VAPConstruction.com.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Two plays and a score for Lance Barr's squad from Hoxie as the Indians open up a 6-0 lead with 10-12 to go in the first quarter of play. The Red Devils go 3-and-out on their first drive after it was a touchback. And from there, so it was 3-and-out. Caden Sowers attempted to punt. It went off the side of his foot for a shank. And it was great field position for the Indians inside the 30 to about the 28. Two plays later, the end of the end zone. Here's Finner's kick, and it's a nice end-over-end spinner that'll be fielded by Caden Sowers. But he went down to a knee right at the 15-yard line. And so the Red Devils, either way, would have started the 15 if it was a touchback or not. And they say Caden to go down and pick that ball up off the nice green grass here at Spink Memorial Field, went down to both knees. And so it'll be first down and 10 for the Red Devils from the 15-yard line. Their first drive ran it three straight times and only gained 5 yards against a very tough Hoxie Indian defense, especially up front and in the linebacker core. Red Devils will go under center again. One receiver out to the left, tucked on the line. Here's the snap. Fakes the hand off to Sowers. It's off to Pattengill. He's at the 15 to the 20. 25, 30. 35, 40. Still on his feet. 30, 20, 15. Before he's finally wrapped up and brought down, pushed out of bounds by Duncan Bell. And the Indians allow a big one there. The Red Devils were looking for that big play, and they get it as Josiah Pattengill takes it from his own 15 inside the Hoxie Indian 15 at about the 14-yard line. What a gain of 51 yards right there for Josiah Pattengill, giving the Red Devils new life with 10 minutes and counting to go in the first quarter of play. Red Devils will go out of the I formation, one receiver off to the left. Pattengill at the tip of the eye again. Sowers between them, takes the snap, hands it off. Pattengill cuts back. He's at the 10, still on his feet before he'll be wrapped up at the secondary and brought down just in front of the 5-yard line. So Josiah Pattengill, first rush, 2 yards. Second rush on the second drive, 51. And that one will go for a couple of there. 9:43 and counting to go in the first quarter of play. Pickup of 6 there by Josiah. And it'll bring up second down and 4 from the 8-yard line for the Red Devils. 9:34 and counting to go. What a run by Josiah Pattengill, kind of giving some life to that Oberlin Red Devils sideline after after a quick score from the Indians. Willoughby under center again. Sowers directly behind him. Takes the snap. Fakes it once. Now he does hand it off to Sowers, who goes off the left side and gets it near the 5-yard line after a nice pickup, and it'll bring up third down for the Red Devils. Need to get it inside the 5. They're going to mark it about a yard short. It'll bring up third down and 1 here for the Red Devils after Caden Sowers picks up 3, and we kind of talked with head coach Brendan Hardwick. He says, you know, our workhorse is Josiah Pattengold, but we don't want him working the horse as much as he did in that Dighton game where he had 34 carries. They're going to try to spread it out a little bit in the backfield, and they have so far. Willoughby will go under center. Sowers directly behind him, takes the snap, fakes the handoff. Now it's off to Pattengold, breaks the tackle. He's at the 5, carrying defenders with him inside the 5, and now into the end zone for a touchdown. Josiah Pattengold, with the whole Hoxie defense on his back, carries him in for an Oberlin Red Devil touchdown with 8:39 to go. And so Josiah Pattengold says, one man on me? Nah. Two? Nah. Three? Nah. He carries them all in with him and scores. And just like that, the Red Devils are right back in it. They tie it up at 6 with a chance to take the lead with 8:39 to go in the first quarter of play. Caden Shaw will kneel down as the center. And now Gage Willoughby will go under center. Sowers between him and Pattengold, who's at the tip of the eye in the eye formation. Takes the snap, hands it off. Pattengold cuts back. He's met by the defensive line from the Indians, wrapped up and brought down. So two non-successful point conversions for either team. And now we head to Hoxie's chance to try to respond. 8:39 to go here in the first quarter of play. It is Oberlin 6, Hoxie 6. It's Oberlin Red Devil football here on a 1.1 KFNF.
Earning yours is Ward Drug's top priority. Their expert team in downtown Oberlin, Kansas provides diabetic supplies, home medical equipment, braces, and crutches. They offer sports medical supplies to keep you active and healthy. Independently owned and operated, they ensure personalized care with every visit. From your daily needs to specialized medical equipment, Ward Drug has you covered. Visit warddrugstore.com or call 785-475-2285 or even stop in downtown Oberlin. Ward Drug, your trusted partner in health and wellness.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Back here from Smick Memorial Field, where, man, oh, man, what a first quarter we've had. 12 points already in the first 4 minutes of the ball game. And the Red Devils, who went 3 and out of their first drive, it was a tough punt from Caden Sowers that went off the side of his foot, and they marked it out of bounds at the 28-yard line. Hoxie takes care of the easy field position with a touchdown on 2 plays. Oberlin then gets a 51-yard rush from Josiah Pattengold inside the 15. A couple of plays later, they're at the end zone, and we're knotted up at 6, and it'll be Gus Emick on the kick. He sends it out to Braxton Monk just across the 10. He's at the 20, cuts back at the 25, still on his feet to the 30, still on his feet there before he'll finally be wrapped up and brought down near midfield, right at about the 30-yard line, as Gus Emick with a nice little pooch kick there to just in front of the 10-yard line. So that's where Hoxie will start with the football. Again, somewhat shorter field position, as if you kick it out of the back of the end zone, you start with it at the 15. They're starting with it here. First down and 10 from their own 30-yard line. First time Hoxie has started to drive behind their 40, and it's only their second drive. Bell will go out of the shotgun. He's got Watkins as a receiver out to the right, man on either hip of the backfield. Sends a man in motion out, right to left, takes the snap. It's a pitch to Sheets. Sheets rushing out to the right side before he's wrapped up and brought down behind the line of scrimmage. It was Tyler Rossmeyer getting to him first, and he puts him back into their heels there on first down. And the Red Devils have came to play on the defensive line. A huge stop right there after the Red Devils allowed a 26-yard rush on the first attempt from Sheets. This time they move him back a yard. It's a TFL for none other than Tyler Rossmeyer, who has just seemed to own those TFLs all season long. Bell will go out of the shotgun again. He's got Sheets on his hip. They're heavy to the left. Bell takes the snap, hands it off to Sheets. Sheets off the right side, cuts back, still on his feet, across the 35-yard line, makes it out to the 36 before he's finally wrapped up and brought down from behind, and it'll bring up third down here for the Indians, just in front of the 40-yard line with 7:38 and counting to go in the first quarter of play, as it was second and 11 there to third and 5, so a pickup of 6 for Braden Sheets. They've rushed to four times for 33 yards already in the contest. 7:24 and counting to go with the first quarter of play. Duncan Bell receives the play. Now looking at the armband, and will tell it to his offensive starters in line. So Duncan Bell leads him up to the football. Receiver out to either side. He's got Sheets. No, Sheets is going to go out as a receiver. Nobody in the backfield along with Bell. Sends a man in motion right to left across the line. That's Nicholson. Takes the snap looking. Throws it out to him in the flat. Pass caught. And he'll make it out across the sticks for a first down to the far side of the football field. Taking it from the 36 into Red Devil territory to the 35. So a great drawn up play there. Just threw it out of the flat to Easton Nicholson. And the Hoxie Indians are in business as a pickup of 9 there on third down, and the Indians convert. So Easton Nicholson, who's been very active out of the backfield this season in the passing sense for the Indians, just makes his 8th grab of the season. 6:42 to go in the first quarter of play. 6-6 our score. We have a stoppage on the field, and it looks like on the far side, one of the sticks, the marker that signifies where the ball started in that downs, was having some issues, and so the teams are going to be able to get together on their respective sidelines and get a drink of water. 6:42 to go here in the first quarter of play. We're knotted up at 6 apiece between these two bitter rivals that sit just about 30 minutes away as the crow flies from each other. And there is, you can't tell me, there's a lot of respect there of these two programs. Hoxies, it's been a little more rich in that sense over the last few years, but Oberlin has got something brewing here, and they have kind of shown Hoxie that they are here to play in this first quarter. 6-6, 6:39 and counting to go. Bell will guard the shotgun. Receiver out to the right, takes the snap, fakes the handoff, QB design run, and read option, spins off one tackle, selling his feet to the 30, 25, 20, inside, almost to the 15-yard line, and Duncan Bell, who spun off two defenders at the 30-yard line, found some space again, and makes his way out. Cuts it up the sideline and gets it out inside the 20 as he takes it from the 35 inside of the 20 to the 18. So a great pickup of 13 yards right there by Duncan Bell. From Duncan Bell on the first down carry. Brings up a new set of downs. First down and 10 here for the Indians. They'll go out of the I formation. Fakes the pitch. Hands it off to Nicholson. Off the right side of the 15. Down to the 10-yard line before he's wrapped up and brought down. It's Talon Savage along with Caden Sowers there on the far side of the football field. Great play call right there as they were heavy set to the right out of the I formation, and they handed it off to Nicholson, who took it back to the left as the Red Devils set up to the right side. It's a pickup of 6 on that play. Nicholson's first carry, and it was 6:01 to go here in the first quarter. Hoxie driving inside the red zone here as they'll have second down and 4 from call it the 11-yard line. 6-6, 5:50 and counting to go with the first quarter of play. Duncan Bell out of this shotgun here. He's got a man on his hip, Sheets to the right, one receiver out to the left, one to the right, motion Sheets out to the right, and now he will stand as a slot receiver. Sends a man in motion right to left across the line. He comes behind him. It's a pitch out to Braxton Monk. Monk at the 15, cuts back there, still on his feet to the 10, spinning on his feet still as he's weaving between his every Oberlin defender that was out there, dives his way across the sticks and gets to the 5-yard line. So a pickup of 6 from Braxton Monk on the carry. And so Braxton Monk comes in with a big rush there, one of his first and few carries so far this season. 5:26 and counting to go in the first quarter of play. Hoxie with the football inside the Oberlin 10-yard line at the 5, first and goal. 6-6, 5:12 to go in the first quarter of play. Hoxie with a great drive here that started at their own 30. Now to the shotgun. Sends a man in motion out into the flat. That Sheets takes the handoff, fakes it, read option, and it's going to be blown up and brought down to the backfield. He read it wrong as Garrett Emmett came in and blew him up for a loss of 10 or more. So Garrett Emmett shoves him back behind the 10 and almost to the 15-yard line there, as this is going to be a huge loss of about, as they're going to take it second down and goal to the 14-yard line is where they're going to call that. So it's a loss of 11 on the play from Duncan Bell. Loss of 9, by Duncan Bell on the play. on his attempted rush on the read option. Hoxie with the football again, and now we'll have a timeout on the football field as it looks like Coach Lance Barr wants to talk things over. 4:18 to go here in the first quarter of play. We're going to keep it right here. Oberlin Red Devil football on 101.1 KFNF today has been brought to you by Aqua Shield Roofing, Bainter Oil, Creative Collision, Culligan of Oberlin, Decatur Co-op, Decatur County Beef, Decatur Health, Farm Credit of Western Kansas, First State Bank of Hoxie, FNB Bank of Oberlin, and Frederickson Insurance Agency. Big thank you to all of them for helping to support Oberlin, Red Devil, and Hoxie Indian Athletics here on 101.1 KFNF. 4:18 to go in the first quarter of play. Hoxie with the football. They were inside the 10 to 5, but it was a read option call for Duncan Bell, and usually he doesn't misread those a lot. That time he did as Garrett Emick blew up his man on the far side of the line and wrapped him up and pounded him into the Schmick Memorial Field turf for a loss of 9 to bring up second down and goal from the 14-yard line. This is what the Red Devils did last week against St. Francis. If you can remember back, they had that bend, don't break mentality as St. Francis had the football inside the red zone four times, inside the 10 four times, and three of those times they had a goal-to-goal situation and only scored one touchdown in the second half of play. Red Devils trying to pull off something just like that right here, as it'll be second down and goal for the Indians from the 14-yard line. Bell with two receivers to the right, none to the left. Sends a man in motion right to left across the line. That's Monk as a man on his hip, takes the snap, looking to throw out of the flat. Now he throws it back to the other side, sets it up for Finner. Finner at the 10 to the 5, and a walk in for a touchdown. They set up a backside tight end screen, and it works out perfectly with 4:11 to go in the first quarter. It's 12-6 as Hoxie is back on the board with a 14-yard pass and catch from Duncan Bell to Trent Finner. That's his first catch of the season, and it goes for a touchdown. So Trent Finner on a backside tight end screen. Great call by Lance Barr. He's one of the best play callers in the state. I think anybody would tell you that, even Coach Hardwick. All of these guys in the same district look up to each other, and I know a lot of people have been looking up to Coach Barr as of late. 4:11 to go, 12-6. Here's the snap of the two-point conversion to Sheets. He cuts it back, dives off his tackles, and he's into the end zone for the two-point conversion. So it's 8 points there to give the Hoxie Indians the lead, 14-6. 4:11 to go here in the first quarter of play. It's Hoxie 14, Oberlin 6. This is Oberlin Red Devil football on 101.1 KFNF.
Bainter Oil and Hoxie will deliver bulk fuel right to your door or farm. Farm diesel, highway diesel, gas or propane. Also oils from quarts to totes up to 275 gallon. Bainter Oil has been servicing Northwest Kansas for over 40 years. Give them a call today at 785-675-3903. That's 785-675-3903. Or stop by Bainter Oil in downtown Hoxie. You'll be glad you did.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
The First State Bank of Hoxie is ready, willing, and able to serve all your banking needs. Whether it's a checking or savings account, CDs, personal or farm loans, First State Bank of Hoxie can be your bank. They are large enough to serve you, but small enough to know you. And First State Bank of Hoxie is a proud supporter of the Hoxie Indians. Go fight win with First State Bank of Hoxie, member FDIC.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
At Nutrien Ag Solutions, they believe in the four R's. One, the right kinds of fertilizer and chemical to apply. Two, the right time to apply fertilizer and chemicals. Three, the right amount of fertilizer and chemical to use. And four, the right place to apply fertilizer and chemical. Stop by Nutrien Ag Solutions and sharpen up your four R's before planting season arrives. They will be glad to work the four R's into your farming program. That's Nutrien Ag Solutions, just west of Hoxie, where they sell fertilizer by specialize in service.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Have you heard these three rules of nature? Rule number one, weather always wins. Rule number two, sometimes weather plays rough. Drought, freeze, flood, hail, lightning, high winds, they can all ruin your crop and your livelihood. And rule number three, multi-peril and crop hail insurance from Watkins Insurance in Hoxie. Visit Dan and Steve at Watkins Insurance soon. They can show you a multi-peril crop insurance plan that puts you and nature on a level playing field. That's right, individual protection plans from Watkins, such as RP and YP. Watkins Insurance, an equal opportunity provider.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
The First State Bank of Hoxie is ready, willing, and able to serve all your banking needs, whether it's a checking or savings account, CDs, personal or farm loans. First State Bank of Hoxie can be your bank. They are large enough to serve you, but small enough to know you. And First State Bank of Hoxie is a proud supporter of the Hoxie Indians. Go fight, win with First State Bank of Hoxie, member FDIC.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Lofter Pump and Well Incorporated Epoxy is your state licensed Kansas Water Well Association member. They can help you with all your water needs. They service and drill stock wells, domestic wells, environmental wells, and irrigation wells. Let them handle all your water maintenance problems, from drilling to water pump installation. They will do it all. Give Lofter Pump and Well a call today, 785-675-3991, or stop in and visit them on Highway 24 in Hoxie.
Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Welcome back here from Smick Memorial Field. Do apologize about the last couple of minutes there. I've been dealing with some technical difficulties, but we're back up and going, and glad you're along with us still. 20-6, now Hoxie in front. So since the time that you left us, Hoxie punched in a touchdown on that backdoor screen to Trent Finner from 14 yards out. Oberlin went 3 and out, and then the punt was blocked. It put Hoxie with great field position. They had a holding penalty that put them all the way back to the 22. And then one play later, they were to the end zone, and Trent Finner will down this one to the back of the end zone for a touchback. And Trent Finner is more of a weapon than anybody thinks he is, because Oberlin now for the third straight time has to start with the football at the 15, while Hoxie hasn't had to start there at all. They've had great field position, obviously with a couple of Red Devil mistakes, but even on the one that the Red Devils kicked off on, they started at the 30-yard line. So Finner punting into the end zone every time is certainly a weapon. 55.5 seconds to go here in quarter number one. Willoughby will go out of the I formation. Patton Gall to tip the I. Receiver out to the right. Takes the snap. Hands it off. Patton Gall. Matt's right there at the defensive line and brought down. That play was blown up from the beginning as it was designed to go to the left. He had a cut back to the right, and he was met by Malcolm King and many more right up front. King just shoved him right back. They say with forward progress, it's only a loss of one, and it'll bring up second down here for Oberlin, second and 11 from their own 14-yard line. Josiah, 6 carries, 69 yards on the day, and a touchdown. But you take away that 51-yard run, he's only got 18 yards. It's been tough to rush the football tonight for the Red Devils against this stacked box from the Hoxie Indians out of the I formation again. No receivers, stacked front. Here's the snap, hand off to Patton Gall. He cuts back, gets some room this time before he's finally wrapped up and brought down by the second wave of Hoxie defenders. It's Sam Watkins that'll wrap him up. So he gains about two there to bring up third down and 9 for the Red Devils, and that's where the quarter will come to a close. One quarter in the books here from Smick Memorial Field. It is Oberlin down 20-6 to Hoxie. It's Oberlin Red Devil football here on 101.1 KFNF.
Here come the men in black trucks for all your home needs.
Say no to bad roofs.
Say yes to AquaShield Roofing.
With over 17 years of providing A-plus services. Roofs, siding, gutters, windows, doors, and spray foam insulation. Plus, AquaShield Roofing offers a workmanship warranty. For your free estimate, give them a call at 785-475-2533. AquaShieldRoofing.com.
Here come the men in black trucks for all your home needs.
Creative Collision in Oberlin reminds you, when involved in an accident, the insurance company will pay for towing to the shop of your choice within a reasonable distance. Not the closest shop available. No law requires you to get more than one estimate. You choose the shop and authorize the repairs. Remember, your car, your choice. Creative Collision, Oberlin's choice body shop for all your collision and restoration services. Call them at 785-470-2130 or stop by at 1843 Highway 83 in Oberlin.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Back here from Smick Memorial Field, one quarter in the books, and it belongs to the Hoxie Indians as Hoxie out in front 20-6. Oberlin did something, though, that no team has done against Hoxie in the first quarter, and that's actually score. They were outscoring opponents 82-0 in the first quarter, so the Red Devils can maybe add that to their back, but would love a score here. And the first play from scrimmage out of the timeout. It's a long throw deep down the left sideline looking for Sowers, and he just overthrew him at the 30-yard line of the Hoxie Indians. Great play call on 3rd and 9, looking for the home run ball. If you're you remember back 2 weeks ago, that was what they drew up on the first play of scrimmage against Wallace County, and it went for six. This time it goes for an incompletion, and it'll bring up fourth down and nine. The Red Devils will have to punt again, who just punted a second ago, and it's Caden Sowers, the punter, that was making the long, so he's got to make a run all the way to the 30, back inside the 10, and he will punt it away from the 5-yard line. Here's the snap. It's a low punt. Now Caden Sowers is going to try to run it up the middle. Flags come in. It'll be wrapped up and brought down to the 15-yard line. And Hoxie, again, they're out of three out of their four drives. They have started with amazing field position. Will they have it again, as a flag did come in? And could this save the Red Devils here? We will see. It looks like they're going to go over and talk with Lance Barr and see if he wants to accept a penalty here. So it'll go against Oberlin. The penalty will be declined, and Hoxie will have the football first down and 10 from the 15-yard line. It was holding called on the Red Devils. The penalty is declined, and so Hoxie, again, for the third drive this game, they've had four total, will start inside Oberlin territory and inside the 20. Second time now, they have started inside the 15 or right at the 15. First down and 10 for the Indians. They're calling it from the 16. It's actually from the 15. 11:49 to go out of the shotgun bell. Receiver on either hip, one receiver out to either side, back on either hip. Now motion sheets out to the left. It's a read option. He runs it off the left side. He's wrapped up and brought down there on the right side, and it'll be brought down by Tyler Osmeyer to bring up second down with 11:39 to go here in the first quarter, in the first half. So Hoxie out in front, 20-6. It's a pickup of one for Duncan Bell, who's had three rushes today for 9 yards, but you take away that negative 9-yard rush on the read option, he's got 18 to go. He's got 18 rush yards. Bell out of the shotgun, a receiver out to either side. He's got Nicholson on his hip. Bell takes the snap at the chest, looking, throws out of the flat, pass caught by Sheets. He cuts back at the five, dives his way for the end zone on the far side of the field, looking for the far side pylon, and he's going to come up short, but put the Indians into a goal-to-go situation, and it'll bring up first down and goal. So they had it at the 14, take it to about the 1, pickup of 13 yards through the air. Duncan Bell hasn't thrown an incompletion yet, as he hits Braden Sheets that time, who wasn't in the backfield, instead lined up as a receiver, and it'll make it 10:48 to go. First and goal from the 1-I formation. QB sneak off the left side. Is he in? Yes, he is. So Duncan Bell runs it in from 1 yard out on the QB sneak. It's his fifth touchdown of the season, and Hoxie makes it a 20-point lead at 26-6 with 10:36 to go in the first half of play. So what a flip of events. Oberlin, who tied it at 6. Hoxie went on a long drive, punched it in, and then since then it has been all Hoxie inside Red Devil territory, inside the red zone practically the whole time. 10:36 to go, not practically, the whole time. Two-point conversion attempt here. Bell to the shotgun. Two receivers to the right, two to the left. Sends a man of motion left to right. That Sheets. And now a flag will come in. And there was a lot going on with that play, as Bell was empty in the backfield. And he had two stacked up to the right, right along the line and the line of scrimmage. And then he had two to the left, and instead they're going to call a false start, so that'll move him back 5 yards. And for all my Red Devil fans out there, it's been a good first quarter, the first half, as the Red Devils have only committed one penalty that was declined, so it doesn't really count compared to 19, what they had last week. So it'll be two-point conversion attempt again here across the 5, put it at about the 7. Bell of the shotgun. They're going to try to run the same play, two to the left, two to the right. Sends a man in motion. It's Monk. Hands it off to him. No, he looks, throws it, has a man in the end zone, and it's incomplete. I thought he was going to hand it off to Braxton Monk on the jet sweep left to right across the line. Instead, he pulls it, looking for Sam Watkins in the end zone, throws it just at his knees, and Watkins tried to dive for it, but it comes up short. So the two-point conversion fails, but Hoxie adds to their lead. They make it a 20-point game with 10:36 to go here in quarter number 2. It's Hoxie 26, Oberlin 6 on 101.1 KFNF.
Hi, this is Matt Osmeyer, your Culligan dealer for Rawlins, Decatur, and Norton counties. As we begin another fall sports schedule, we want to wish the best of luck to all area athletes. Culligan of Oberlin is a proud supporter of school activities, and we want to encourage the community to come out and watch all our talented area students participate in all their school activities. And remember, if you have questions about the water in your home, call me for free water analysis at 785-475-2471. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Welcome back here from Smick Memorial Field, where a turn of events has happened as Hoxie has had four drives in the contest, three of which have started on Red Devil territory, and two of those three have started inside the 10-yard line. And so the Indians were then driven out of that inside the 10-yard line a couple of times as well, as it was a bad snap on the punt there. Now Finner will send a high end-over-end squib boot that will take a bounce. It will be returned here by Gage Willoughby at the 15, and he dives his way forward. So the Red Devils, I don't think, expected Finner to give him a punt, give him a kick to return, as it started out high and then bounced down low along the ground, and Willoughby was able to pick it up and take it out to about the 15 or 16-yard line. So it'll be first down and 10 for the Red Devils from their own 15-yard line. Oberlin has started here practically on every single drive tonight. So first down and 10, 10:31 to go in the first half. Red Devils down by 20, 26-6. It'll be Gage Willoughby under center. He's got Sowers directly behind him. Pattengall off to the right of Sowers. One receiver out to the left. Pattengall takes the snap, hands it off. Pattengall still on his feet. As Willoughby taking the snap, handed it off to Pattengall, and gets back to maybe the original line of scrimmage to bring up second down. They're actually going to say he loses maybe a half yard or so, and it'll bring up second down and a little more than 10. I think the scoreboard's going to keep it at second and 10. So that rush will go for no gain. 10:07 to go here in the first half, 26-6. Second down and a little more than 10, probably a half yard more than 10 to go for the Red Devils after Josiah Pattengall loses a half yard on that first rush. Willoughby will go under center here. He's got Sowers between him and Pattengall, who stands at the tip of the eye to the eye formation, heavy set to the right. And now a timeout will be called by the Oberlin Red Devils. So we will take one with them. 9:46 to go in the first half, 26-6. Hoxie out in front. It's Red Devil football on 101.1 KFNF.
It's costing more and more to fill up your gas tank these days. When you pay at the pump at Decatur Co-op, you pay less, and you don't have to be a member to enjoy great competitive rates. Decatur Co-op has Pay at the Pump in Lenora, Jennings, Oberlin, and Herndon, Kansas, along with Danbury, Nebraska. Plus, you don't have to worry about whether it's cash or credit. All prices are the same, and Decatur Co-op accepts all major credit cards and the Decatur Co-op Association card. Next time, fill up at Decatur Co-op.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Smick Memorial Field trying to get some life back into the Red Devil faithful are the Red Devils. They have second down and 10 from their own 15-yard line, 26-6. Hoxie out in front here with 9:46 to go in the first half. I formation look here for the Red Devils from the left hash. Pattengall stands at the top of the eye. Heavy set to the right, takes the snap. He'll go off to the right side, breaks a tackle, still on his feet at the 20, before he's wrapped up and brought down high and low there. First to get to him was Easton Nicholson, and then finishing him off was Duncan Bell. So to bring up third down and manageable here for the Red Devils, third and about five at the 20-yard line after the pickup of five from Josiah Pattengall. So the Red Devils on third down today have not been able to convert a lot. And now they're going to call it third and five for the Red Devils from the 20-yard line. Willoughby will go under center. He's got Sowers directly behind him. Pattengall will be off Sowers' hip to the right. Nobody out as a receiver. Heavy set line to the left. Willoughby takes the snap, hands it off, cutting off to the left. Is Sauer still on his feet before he's finally wrapped up and brought down? Saw a surge of a gray helmet make its way out near the sticks, but it came up just a bit short after he was wrapped up front behind by the Hoxie Indians defense. Easton Nicholson, the one to wrap him up by the legs. It'll bring up 4th and 3 for the Red Devils, down by 20 with 8:40 to go in the second quarter of play. And Gage Willoughby is running in a play. See if the Red Devils want to go for it here on 4th down. Caden Sowers able to pick up 2 yards there. 4th and 3 for the Red Devils. 4th and 2 out of the pickup of 3 there. 4th and 2. Willoughby under center, takes the snap, hands it off to Pattengill, cuts back. Does he have enough to get the first down? Yes, he does. So keep moving the sticks. Josiah Pattengill, who had a break, tackles left and right in the backfield, finally was able to cut it up right there near the 25-yard line and takes it out across the 25 to the 27. So a pickup of 4 to bring up a first down for the Red Devils. Red Devils wearing the home red uniforms, gray pants, gray helmets with a trident on the side. Hoxie in all white with the red helmets and the red H on one side, number on the other. Out of the I formation again, Willoughby takes the snap, fakes the handoff, rolling out to his right. It's a QB boot. He still gets back, tries to cut back at the 25, and he got lodged into the Smick Memorial Field turf, and luckily nobody was hurt on that play as he's able to pick up a few yards, though. Gets it out across the 30, That's where he got caught up in the turf with a little turf monster there. That'll bring up 2nd down and 6. Here for the Red Devils after the pickup of 4 for Gage Willoughby. So 2nd down and 6 for the Red Devils. 7:18 to go in the first half of play. 26-6. Hoxie in front. Willoughby will go under center. Pattengill at the top of the eye. Willoughby takes the snap, hands it off. Pattengill mad at the line of scrimmage and brought right back down. A man met him in the backfield, shoved him backwards. He was able to get off of him, and then it's 3 or 4. Hoxie defenders wrap him up and shove him back for a loss of a couple of yards to about the 30-yard line is where they're going to have it here, maybe just in front of it, and it'll bring up 3rd and 7. So a loss of 1 there for Josiah. Brings up 3rd down and 7 for the Red Devils with 6:42 and counting to go before the halftime break. 26-6. Hoxie out in front. Hoxie's 3 out of their 4 drives have started in Red Devil territory. They've scored on all 4 drives to start the contest. Oberlin scored on their 2nd drive and has kind of been dormant since. Now with a 3rd and 7 from the 30-yard line to their own. Under center, Willoughby takes the snap, fakes the handoff. He's looking to throw. Has a man deep down the field. It's Tyler Rossmeyer. Cuts back and makes the catch at the 20-yard line. Tyler Rossmeyer, are you kidding me? Again, Tyler being the big threat in the receiving game. What a pass by Gage Willoughby. It'll go for 30 yards and set the Red Devils up into Hoxie territory inside the 20-yard line. It's just what they needed. With 6:14 to go, the clock will stop. Gage Willoughby with his first completion of the day, and it'll go for 30 yards. To Tyler Rossmeyer. Willoughby will guard the I formation again. Heavy set to the left. Willoughby takes the snap, hands it off. Pattengill on his feet to the 15. Now a barrel pile with him, still on his way to the 10, inside the 10. How about that? That is called team running right there for the Red Devils, and they put him inside the 10-yard line. It'll bring up 2nd down and short for the Red Devils after the pickup of 8 on the first rush from Josiah Pattengill with a gang of offensive linemen behind him. So Josiah now with 11 carries for 85 yards on the night already in the first half. 2nd down and goal for the Red Devils. 2nd down and 2 for the Red Devils from the 9-yard line. Willoughby will go out of the I formation again here. Heavy set to the right on the offensive line. Sowers and Pattengill in the backfield. Takes a snap. It's a pitch out to the left. Pattengill at the 10 and couldn't slip the defender there to get the corner. And he maybe dove forward for an inch or two, and it'll bring up 3rd down and 2 for the Red Devils from the 9. So 5:21 to go. It's been 2 big plays for the Red Devils that have set them up close for a chance to score. The first one they capitalized on, it was that 51-yard run from Josiah. And now Gage Willoughby with a 30-yard pass and catch to the big T.E. Tyler Osmeyer, who came back to the football at the 20 with 2 men almost draped around him, and makes a huge catch. 4:56 to go here in the first half of play. Willoughby out of the I formation. Heavy set to the right. Patton Gall at the top of the I. Takes the snap. Hands it off to the fullback. Sowers, who gets busted at the line and then thrown backwards after he tried to bounce it outside by Braden Sheets. And he'll be all the way back across the 10 at the 11, maybe, or right at the 10. So it'll be a loss of one there for Caden Sowers, and bring up decision time for Brandon Hardwick. Well, not really decision time, but decision time on what play you want to call. Do you go through the air here or trust your defense, trust your offensive line to get you the 4 yards? Fourth down and four for the Red Devils from the 10-yard line. Sticks sit at about the 6. They'll go out of the I formation. Heavy set to the right, with just one lineman to the left. Willoughby calling out the signals, almost got him to go off sides as one man did jump, but he got back in time. That's what they were wanting to do the whole time there, was kind of get a little bit of a bluff, and now they're going to call a timeout and think things over. 4:01 to go with the first half of play. Second quarter, 26-6. Hoxie out in front. Oberlin, two huge plays in the contest that have put him into Hoxie Indian territory. Other than that, it's been a very dry night for Brandon Hardwick's offense, and I'm sure they'll make some halftime adjustments to try to reach back around that. But this is a huge score for the Red Devils. We have to give the ball up at halftime, as it'll be Hoxie to start with the football coming out of the break as they won the toss and chose to defer. The Red Devils got here on a third down play. And it was a Tyler Osmeyer 30-yard pass and catch from Gage Willoughby. Gage on the season has been a pretty efficient passer, now 7 of 17. Not the greatest anyway, but it seems like he's been able to, you know, keep it out of harm's way. Just one interception, excuse me, so far on the season. 26-6, Hoxie in front. 4:01 to go before each team will retreat to the locker rooms. Oberlin will come out of the timeout, one receiver to the right. Patton Gall to tip the I formation set here. Takes the snap. Willoughby fakes the handoff, rolling out to his right. He's pressured, throws it up into the back of the end zone. Osmeyer comes back to pass. It's picked off. Flags are in the end zone. Bell picked it off of the end zone. He's at the 10 to the 15. Still on his feet to the 20 to the 25. And he cuts back there to the 35-40 to the 35-30. 25-20, 15-10, 5. It is a 100-yard pick 6 for Duncan Bell, but there is a flag to be addressed in the end zone. And so the Red Devils might get away and might see Hoxie have another touchdown taken off the board with a PI call here, as Osmeyer came back to the football, cutting across about 2 or 3 yards inside the end zone, came back to it, and made an attempt to get the catch. And it bounced off of his hands into Duncan Bell, who took it up the near sideline and all the way. But a 100-yard pick six looks like it's going to be taken off of the scoreboard if everything holds true here. And luckily, there was no penalties on either Oberlin or Hoxie there on the ensuing interception return for a touchdown. And who's it going to be on? And it looks like it's going against Hoxie, as we'll wait and see. The white hat is going to make and address the fans here with a call at about the 35-yard. Now he's still walking, and he's going to call the officials together again to go over it. I'd assume a PI call here. And no, it's going to be holding called on the Indians. So that'll give the Red Devils a first down. So holding on the defense, how about that? So the Red Devils have now seen two Hoxie Indian touchdowns taken off the board via penalties, both of them on the hold. And yeah, that'll be a first down for the Red Devils, and it'll take it inside the 10-yard line at the 5. So it winds up being about a 5-yard penalty there for Hoxie, because it's half the distance to the goal. So the Red Devils will have first and goal from just across the 5. The tip of the football sits right on the 5-yard line. Every other part of the football is behind it. First down and goal for the Red Devils from the 5-yard line. Willoughby out of the I formation. Willoughby calling out the signals, takes the snap, hands it off. Patton Gall, he's at the 5, dives his way to the 2 before he's finally wrapped up and brought down to the momentum. Couldn't push him forward. The extra couple of yards, they'll say his forward progress gets him to the 2, and it'll bring up second down and goal for the Red Devils. So second and goal for the Red Devils, 3:16 and counting to go. They'll call it second and three, actually, for the Red Devils. So second and goal for the Red Devils from the 3-yard line. 3 minutes and counting to go before halftime. 26-6 Hoxie. Willoughby out of the I formation. Heavy set line to the right. Willoughby takes the snap, hands it off. Pattengall goes back left, still on his feet, trying to take his back across the inside, and he couldn't, and he's wrapped up and brought down to the line of scrimmage. It'll bring up third down and goal for the Red Devils with 2:40 and counting to go in the first half. So with third down and goal, what is Brandon Hardwick going to go to here? Talon Savage will make his way onto the field and see if the Red Devils maybe want to go a little bit not so much heavy set, try to draw him off sides or with a try to draw him kind of out of their assignments with a pitch or something along those lines here. Or will they try to give it off to Caden Sowers? Third and goal for the Red Devils from the Hoxie Indian 3-yard line. Willoughby will go under center. Caden Sowers directly behind him. Pattengall off of his right hip. Sowers takes the snap, fakes the handoff once, twice. Now he's rolling out to his right, looking, throws it up, and the pass will be picked off by Braden Sheets. He tried to flick it back to the left sides, and Braden Sheets will pick it off at the 3-yard line. So after all of that, it turns out being a turnover, and I don't know what happened there, if Gage thought someone was running that way or the pass got deflected up in the air, but Braden Sheets comes down with it, who came off of his man that he was blocking against to make the interception, and Hoxie with 2:03 to go in the first half will have the football first down and 10 from the 3-yard line after the pick. So Duncan Bell thought he had himself a 100-yard interception return for a touchdown. And instead, 100 yards because he caught it in the end zone. But so now Bell will go under center, takes the snap, hands it off to Sheets off the right side. He's at the 5, tumbling tacklers along with them on the far side of the field to get out and gain a couple of yards. It'll bring up second down with a 1:53 to go. So just a play there to get him out from their backs against their own end zone. So it'll bring up second down and 5 here for the Indians after the pickup of 5 there from Braden Sheets, who's got 38 yards rushing tonight. 1:35 and counting to go in quarter number 2. Hoxie with a football, second down and 6 from the 8-yard line. Out of the shotgun is Bell. 3 receivers to the left, none to the right. Bell takes the snap, looking out to his left. Now he's wanting to throw the home run. Ball comes back to his right. He's on the scramble. He's going to be wrapped up and brought down. Duncan Bell tried to get out to the right and scramble, and instead it's Tyler Rossmeyer and the rest of the gang, along with Garrett Emick and Theodore Butterfield, I think, got in there as well and almost came up with the sack. It'll bring up third down and 6 now for the Indians. So third down and 6 for the Indians. 50 ticks left in the first half of play. Third and 6 from the 8-yard line of the Red Devils. Bell will go out of the shotgun. He's got a man on his hip, 2 receivers out to the left, 1 to the right. It's Sheets on his hip in the backfield of the left side. He takes the snap. Bell looking to throw, still looking. He'll throw it out of the flat. Pass caught by Monk of the 15. Makes a man miss, still on his feet of the 20 before he dives his way out of bounds. And are they going to wind the clock here? This will be interesting to see. And I think they said he was out of bounds, so the clock will stop with 29.4 seconds to go. And it's a first down play there, a pickup of 12 through the air for Duncan Bell. And a timeout on the field. Braxton Monk now with 2 receptions for 34 yards. We'll keep it right here on this timeout. 29.4 seconds to go in the first half of play. 26-6. Oberlin, who had a 30-yard pass and catch, get him inside the 10-yard line in Hoxie territory. A couple of plays later, they were got him inside the 20, I should say, into the red zone. A couple of plays later, they were inside the 10. And on third and goal, they attempted a pass. It was picked off, ran all the way back, but they called Hoxie for holding. So it was their second touchdown taken off the board. The next play out of the timeout, Oberlin throws a pick. And so Hoxie now trying to use that turnover to their advantage here with minimal time, just 29.4 seconds to go. If you remember back to last year's game, Hoxie went on an incredible 50-second drive to try to end the game at halftime, and they ended up doing it, beating Oberlin last year 46-0. Oberlin hasn't beat Hoxie since 2015 when they won right here at Schmick Memorial Field. 36-28. Hoxie has won the last eight straight games over the Red Devils, 26-6, 29.4 seconds to go here in the first half of play. Hoxie will have the football, first down and 10 from the 20-yard line of their own. Bell out of the shotgun. He's got a man on his right hip. Receiver out to either side. Sends a man in motion left or right. That's Monk. He'll now have two out to the right side. Takes the snap. He's looking to throw. Throws it out of the flat and Sheets. It'll go through his hands. He had blockers in front of him and was hoping to get some help from his receivers out there as well to break off a big run. And instead, they'll all be called back and it'll bring up second down and 10. That's Duncan Bell's first incompletion of the game. So he's 5 of 6 for 70 yards and two touchdowns in the first half. 25.7 seconds left in the first half. 26-6. Hoxie with a football. Second down and 10 from their own 20-yard line. The Red Devils kind of sending everybody back, trying to avoid the big play and see if Hoxie maybe wants to throw it over the middle, get some short yardage here, and try to put it in a position to strike right at the end of the half. Two receivers to the right, none to the left. Man on Bell's hip of the backfield, out of the shotgun. Takes the snap of the chest, looking, throws it out of the flat. Pass caught by Watkins at the 20. Still on his feet as he carries defenders with him. Keeps himself in bounds just in front of the 20-yard line at about the 24. And there will be 14 seconds left here. And then Lance Barr will call a timeout with 13.0 seconds on the clock here before the first half after the pickup of four for the Indians there through the air. So we'll keep it right here as we're just about set and ready to go for a halftime report. Third down and six, 26-6 coming up here at halftime. And your halftime report, get you your first half numbers from both Hoxie and Oberlin, take you through your scoring summary, kind of give you a recap as well, maybe check some scores from around the state in eight-man Division One and other games of note. Sam Watkins with his first reception. It's six completions today for Duncan Bell to five different receivers. If that's not the spread offense, I don't know what is. 13 seconds to go here in the first half of play, 26-6. Hoxie with a football, first down and 10. Third and six, excuse me, from the 24-yard line of their own. So we'll see what Hoxie wants to draw up here. Oberlin is going to send a three-man front is what it looks like. And they'll have three in the linebacker spot. Three or four there. They're going to send a couple of guys extra back. Three receivers split off to the left. Empty formation here for Duncan Bell. Bell out of the shotgun. Takes a snap at the chest. He pump fakes. Now he's flushed out of the pocket. Rolling out to his right. Pump fakes again. Throws over the middle. Has a man wide open. It's Watkins at the 35. So he's able to pick up the first down with 5.2 seconds to go. And dives his way out of bounds. So 11 through the air again for Duncan Bell. And it's his always trusty tight end target, Sam Watkins, who now has six receptions on the year. Both of those last two take him over 100. He's got three touchdowns on the season. 26-6, 5.2 seconds to go here in the first half of play. The nose of the football just sits across the 35-yard line. First down and 10 for Hoxie there. 5.2 seconds to go. Bell out of an empty backfield. He's got two receivers split close to the left, two in the same formation to the right. Three-man, four-man front. Takes the snap. He's rolling out to his left. Still rolling, looking. He throws it as a man and overshoots him. Sam Watkins, almost dangerous, is back there, almost coming up with a pick. Was Gage Willoughby at about the 15-yard line, but it falls just in front of him, and the horn will sound. So our first half of play comes to a close here from Smick Memorial Field. It is Oberlin down to the Hoxie Indians, 26-6. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, the halftime report. Oberlin down 26-6 at the break to Hoxie. Here on 101.1 KFNF.
Decatur County Beef wants to do business with all the local farmers. They want to buy your high-moisture corn and grain sorghum, also alfalfa and dry corn, anytime. Decatur Beef and Hoxie Feed Yard are always looking for good help. Truck drivers, plumbers, welders, and pan riders. Decatur County Beef is located just north of Oberlin on Highway 83, and Hoxie Feed Yard is just west of Hoxie. Call 785-475-2212 for Decatur County Beef, or call Scott at 785-675-9009. Give them a try. You will be glad you did.
I keep telling you, these folks are good at real health care, which means they're always working to improve health care outcomes for their patients. To that end, Decatur Health in Oberlin is part of the Get With The Guidelines, a national program to improve outcomes for stroke patients. Not only is Decatur Health a part of the GWTG program, they recently received a Bronze Award for their continued improvement and work with that program. Once again, proving the health care professionals at Decatur Health are passionate about your well-being. Decatur Health, where passion and healing come together.
Farm Credit of Western Kansas is synonymous with giving back to the community and its members. Whether it's attending events such as wheat plot tours, serving on various boards and committees, volunteering at local county fairs, or delivering $5.5 million in cash patronage checks, Farm Credit of Western Kansas is community driven. Stop in at 1190 South Range in Colby or at one of our convenient outpost offices. Farm Credit of Western Kansas, financing ag for generations.
At F&B Bank in Oberlin, you're getting a dedicated team of professionals who prioritize your financial needs. They offer the convenience of online and telephone banking, plus debit cards that make transactions seamless. And when they say team, they mean a tradition of trust and reliability. They're here to support you long after you open your account. So when it comes to banking, be confident knowing F&B Bank will go the extra mile for you. F&B Bank in Oberlin. Visit them online at fnbbank.com.
Insurance, it seems like you can never have enough. And when it comes to peace of mind, it's good to have the right insurance in place. Fredrickson Insurance Agency in Oberlin can help you do just that. Fredrickson's can help with supplemental insurance for your home, farm, business, auto, and yes, even your crop. Fredrickson's will help you find the best plan from the best companies. Insurance, get the best from Fredrickson Insurance Agency next to the Landmark in downtown Oberlin. 785-475-3883.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rob Hens, and we are proud to have served our community for the past 20 years. And boy, has surgical techniques changed. Gone are the days of large incisions and weeks in a CAM boot. Now I can perform these surgeries through a tiny 2-millimeter incision, and you can walk out on your own 2 feet with only a Band-Aid. Your first step towards better health is to call High Plains Podiatry.
A step towards better health, High Plains Podiatry.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Halftime here from Smick Memorial Field, where it is Hoxie in front of the Oberlin Red Devils 26-6. Boy, what a beautiful night here for football at Smick Memorial Field, as it is youth cheer night tonight. And so they got all the little kids out there with the pom-poms and all the cheerleaders helping them out. Man, it never gets old watching that. It was a great tailgate going on before the game as well. They were doing a fundraiser for the elementary playground stuff and had a great couple of burgers there from the Decatur County Beef. I know, man, oh, man, was it good. That's what high school football is all about, tailgating before the game, making your way in, and, you know, enjoying a good burger and watching great football, and that's what has kind of been put on tonight so far. 26-6 here at the break. Oberlin just has given a lot of chances to the Hoxie Indians inside their own 20-yard line, as currently here at the break. 67 degrees outside here at Smick Memorial Field. A little bit of a wind coming in from the south at about 9 miles an hour, but other than that, it is a beautiful night, and I say that and the flag is standing still, so I don't know if that wind is making its way with all the trees kind of behind it here at Smick Memorial Field. It's going to make its way over that hill and down, as we all say, right? 26-6 here at the break. Let's give you your halftime numbers. Let's take you through your scoring summary. Hoxie started off the scoring in quarter number one with 10:12 to go. Braden Sheets runs it in from 2 yards out. The two-point conversion run from him would be no good, and Hoxie would lead it 6-0. This is after Oberlin went 3 and out of their first drive of the game. They gave it off to Caden Sowers to punt. He shanked it, and the ball went out of bounds inside the 30-yard line at about the 28. And two plays later, Hoxie was into the end zone with 10-12 to go, and they led it 6-0. Oberlin then on the next drive on their second play from scrimmage there, we get a 51-yard run from Josiah Pattengold, taking him inside Hoxie territory. He would punch it in a couple of plays later from 6 yards out. The two-point conversion run from Pattengold would be no good. And we were knotted up at 6 with 8:39 to go in the first quarter of play. And since then, it's been three straight Hoxie scores as Hoxie was able to get the football real close again. After going on a nice long drive there. 4:11 to go, they were able to get it in for a 14-yard touchdown pass. It was a nice long drive that started at the 30-yard line off of the Oberlin kick that kind of forced them to start at their own 30. They methodically worked their way down the field and forced a third down and two or three there from inside the 20-yard line. They throw a backdoor screen, and it was a 14-yard touchdown pass from Duncan Bell to Trent Finner. The two-point conversion run by Sheets would be good, and Hoxie would lead it 14-6 here at the break. Then Oberlin would get the ball back after the kickoff. They would go three and out, and the punt would be blocked this time as the Hoxie Indians would take care of business getting the short field, but they had a holding penalty that drove them all the way back to the 20-yard line. They took it inside the 20. There was an 18-yard pass and catch on second down from Duncan Bell to Trent Finner, who found him wide open over the middle of the 10. He broke a tackle there and ran it in for the touchdown to put a Hoxie in front 20-6 after the two-point conversion. Bell to Monk pass would be no good, and then Hoxie would score again with 10:36 to go in the second quarter of play with a Duncan Bell 1 yard touchdown run. The 2-point conversion would be no good as Bell would try to hit Watkins on a pass, and that drive for Hoxie started again inside the red zone after Oberlin had trouble with the punt, and Caden Sowers just trying to run it up the middle of the field. A holding penalty was called. They denied it. They declined the penalty, did Hoxie, so they started with the football, running about the 15-yard line. A couple of plays later, they were into the end zone. 26-6, that's where we sit here at the break. But over that last 10 minutes and 36 seconds, Oberlin had a shot to cut the lead down as they had the football inside the 5-yard line and decided to go with a pass out of a timeout where they had already thrown a pass. It was picked off and ran all the way back for an interception return that was taken off the board. Second time that has happened tonight for Hoxie where they've had a touchdown taken off the board via a holding penalty. Instead, it was a 5-yard penalty, gave the Red Devils a first down. They took a timeout, came out of that, and then ultimately threw a pick as it was kind of tipped up in the air. Something happened where Gage was rolling out to his right, trying to throw it back to the left, and it was picked off by Braden Sheets, and then that Hoxie drive made it out to about midfield there with just a little over a minute left, and Oberlin stayed tall and didn't allow him to gain too many yards and get in with striking distance. So at the break, 26-6, as Oberlin outscored by Hoxie in that first quarter, 20-6, and in the second quarter, just 6-0. Oberlin did something that no other team has done, and I said that quickly, but they scored on Hoxie in the first quarter after Hoxie was outscoring their opponents 82-0 in the first quarter of play. So they put up a touchdown there, and I kind of can maybe add that to their resume as they scored on a team that couldn't be scored on in the first quarter, but would love to have a few more touchdowns, though, and a cleaner first half. 26-6 here at the break. Let's take you through your individual numbers. We'll start with the Hoxie Indians. Braden Sheets, 5 carries for 37 yards on the night. Duncan Bell with 4 carries for 10 yards. Easton Nicholson with 1 carry for 6 yards. Braxton Monk with 1 carry for 6 yards on the night. Duncan Bell on the night throwing a football. Ball-wise is 7 of 9 for 85 yards. He has 7 completions to 5 different receivers. Braxton Monk being one with 2 receptions for 34 yards. Sam Watkins with 2 receptions for 15 yards. Easton Nicholson with 1 reception for 9 yards. Braden Sheets with 1 reception for 13 yards. And Trent Finner with 1 reception for 14 yards as well. for the Oberlin Red Devils individually. Josiah Pattengall with 12 carries for 87 yards, but you take away his 51-yard run there. He's only got 36 yards, so it's been a tough night running the football, and he's came up with a couple of big plays. That one there, I guess the Red Devils have Josiah with one of them, so he's got a total of 12 carries for 87 yards. Caden Sowers, 4 carries for 7 yards. Gage Willoughby, with 3 carries for 5 yards. Gage throwing the football tonight, 1 of 3 for 30 yards and an interception. His only completion to Tyler Rossmeyer for 30 yards. Team-wise on the night, Oberlin with 22 plays for 129 yards, 99 on the ground, 30 through the air. Hoxie with 20 plays for 144 yards, 59 on the ground, 85 through the air. 1 turnover for the Red Devils, the intercept. Well, 2 turnovers for the Red Devils, the block punt and the interception. Hoxie, no turnovers. They have 3 penalties for 20 yards. And how about this? Oberlin, no penalties in the first half after 19 last week. So certainly have cleaned up that. Would love to clean up some of the mistakes, the block punt and the interception. The turnovers now are killing them instead of the penalties this week. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, just get you some scores from around the state of Kansas. Your halftime report, 26-6. Hoxie out in front over the Oberlin Red Devils here on 101.1 KFNF.
Forget the flashy ads and gimmicks. Farmers, you need fertilizer equipment you can trust. J.D. Skiles in Atwood, Kansas delivers what truly matters, integrity and innovation. From custom fertilizer trailers and pit stop chemical systems to liquid fertilizer systems, they've got it all. Need more efficient spraying equipment? They have the most innovative ATV and UTV sprayers available. No frills, just quality. Visit them online at jdskiles.com or 101 Grant Street in Atwood, Kansas today. J.D. Skiles, where farming meets excellence without compromise.
Are you looking for the best internet service in town? Look no further than Nextech, your local provider that offers true gig speed and full fiber internet. With Nextech, your home can enjoy unlimited data and no contracts. When you need help, a Nextech employee in Kansas is ready to take your call any day of the week. Experience seamless connectivity with Nextech home internet for just $69, and your first bill is even on us. Don't settle. Visit next-tech.com to learn more.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Welcome back here from Smick Memorial Field, where the Red Devils are down 26-6 here at the half to the Hoxie Indians. 20-point game as Hoxie out in front here at the break, 26-6, as the Indians have taken care of business inside Red Devil territory today, as they've started 4 of their drives inside Red Devil territory and have taken care of business here today. They have scored the last 3 straight touchdowns. Get you some scores from around the state of Kansas of note. Holcomb on top of Colby, who's off to an undefeated start. Holcomb up 21-0 at the half there. Madison on top of Northern Heights, 30-0. Argonia Attica on top of Fairfield, 32-12. Other scores from around the state. Just had a few pop in as well. Hayes TMP on top of Smith Center, 14-8. Smith Center does not have a win this season, so the Redmen looking to pick up their first win tonight. TMP up 14-8. Lynn is on top of Beloit St. John's, Tipton, 20-12. And trying to get you some more scores here. Phillipsburg on top of Russell, 14-7. Plainville on top of Oakley, 7-6 at the break. And still look, Beloit on top of Norton, 7-0. Norton number 1 in class 2A there. So upset watch maybe. Halftime, Norton down 7-0. See if that holds through as the Red Devils have charged onto the field with a cannon blast, getting some high fives from the faithful as they run their way back out onto the football field. Other halftime scores. Scott City on top of Hugoton, 28 to 0. So kind of some halftime scores to watch out for. Beloit once again on top of Norton, 7-0. Probably the most surprising score out of all of those tonight. Oberlin trying to pull off the comeback here in the second half, 26-6. They're down by 20 to the Hoxie Indians. Hoxie has started with the football in Red Devil territory a lot tonight, as the first drive, they started with it at the 28-yard line of the Red Devils due to a shank punt. The Red Devils then went down and scored. The next drive, Hoxie had to drive all the way from their own 30 and were able to get it into the end zone. The drive after that, it was a blocked punt, so they started with the football inside the 10-yard line there. And one more after that as the Red Devils tried to make something out of a broken play on a punt, and they started with it at about the 15-yard line or so. That one drive. So out of their five drives tonight, three have started deep into Red Devil territory. Two of those have started with inside the 15-yard line, the other just outside the red zone at the 28-yard line. So if the Red Devils can force Hoxie to maybe drive down the field, the Indians might be having some issues. But they did take that one drive and looked like they were pretty comfortable doing that on that drive that started at the 30 of their own, and they took it down for a touchdown. It's been through, and like I said in the pregame show, this Hoxie Indian offense is more balanced than I think anybody's used to seeing a Coach Bar offense be. They love to go through the air. They love to go on the ground. And so far tonight, they have 85 through the air and just 59 on the ground. So the Red Devils doing a good job clogging holes, staying assignment sound, but it's been the big plays on third down or second down that have moved the chains a lot. And I know they added some yards there down the stretch as they were passing a lot to try to get down the field right before half. But even before that, Hoxie kind of had more yards in the passing department than the rushing department. So they're going to try to change that here in the second half. Well, the Red Devils may maybe kind of look to stop the pass more, but then you got to look to still stop the run, because Braden Sheets has had a pretty good night running the football and has been explosive, but the Red Devils have flocked to him. The Red Devils haven't had a problem getting back to the quarterback. It's Duncan Bell that just flies around all over left or right, knows how much time he has, and he's been able to complete some passes as well as get out of some sacks. He has been sacked a couple of times, though. The Red Devils need to definitely put some pressure on him, as the senior quarterback has looked well tonight. 7 of 9, has thrown 2 touchdown passes for 85 yards, and he's thrown 7 completions to 5 different receivers, 2 of which have caught 2 passes in Braxton Monk and Sam Watkins. Braxton Monk, really the one to look out for there. He's kind of been the target when they've needed a big play. And then on third down, he's really looked to the tight ends of both and the fullback, Nicholson, Watkins, Finner, with a big touchdown as well. So Fenner with a big touchdown as well from 22 yards. All right. Getting ready to go for second half action as the clock is at 0, but officials talking with a couple of the coaches from Hoxie, maybe going over a couple of the things that they saw at halftime and wanted to talk about with the white hat there. All right, second half action here. From Smick Memorial Field, Red Devils down by 20 at 26-6. See what halftime adjustments they made, and they got to make them quick on defense as Hoxie starts out with a football. Gus Simic has it teed up at the 30, stretched out alongside him, and here is the kick. It'll be a nice spinner. It'll be taken right at the 10-yard line, raced up the middle of the football field. It's Monk still on his feet. He's at the 35-40, 35-30, 25-20, 15-10, 5 before he's finally wrapped up and brought down. So Braxton Monk takes it deep into Red Devil territory. They'll start with a football at the 11-yard line. Braxton came up, received it at the 15, takes it all the way down inside Man, oh man, what a run back. 26-6, 11:49 to go. And again, Hoxie will start with the football and put Oberlin with their backs against the wall, defending their own end zone. So Hoxie will have the football, first down and 10 from the 11-yard line. This is now the fourth drive they have started in Red Devil territory tonight, and the third that has started inside the red zone. Bell out of the shotgun, man on his hip, takes the snap. Bell, read option off of the right side. He's got some running room at the 10, still on his feet before he's going to be dragged down and taken out at the knees there just across the 10-yard line with a pickup of about a yard on first down of the read option. So it'll bring up second down here for the Red Devils, for the Indians, excuse me, in Red Devil territory at the 9-yard line. Pickup of two there for Duncan Bell. It was a huge kickoff return there for Braxton Monk. A 54-yard kick return to take it all the way to the 11-yard line. Gain of two on the last play. Bell of the shotgun. Two receivers to the right. Two to the left. Empty backfield. Since made a motion. Here's the snap. Jet sweep off to Braxton Monk. He's at the 10 to the 5. He'll dive for the end zone. And he was rocked right at the goal line by Caden Sowers. He came flying in and shoved him out of bounds. Braxton gets up shaking a little bit. Looks like he's going to be okay. But Caden Sowers on the far side of the field as Braxton was diving for the pylon. Almost got in. But instead they're going to mark him about a yard short. So a pickup of 8 on the jet sweep there to Braxton Monk. And it'll bring up first down and goal now for the Hoxie Indians from the 1-yard line. So the jet sweep works good enough for 8 yards. Needed 9 to get to the end zone. And now Duncan Bell will go out of the I formation here. Heavy set off to the right. Sheets at the tip of the eye. Takes the snap. Here's the pitch. It's out to Sheets. No, Monk will cut back, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown. So it's Braxton Monk running the quarterback spot, running the halfback spot, I should say. And it was Braden Sheets running the fullback spot, and he punches it in from 1 yard out with 10:50 to go to put the Indians out in front 32-6. So 10:50 to go here in the first in the third quarter, 32-6. Hoxie now in front on the Monk 1 yard touchdown run. And the 2-point conversion pending here to try to make it 34-6. Bell will guard the shotgun. He's got Sheets on his hip. Monk just off the line to the right, one receiver out to the left. Bell takes the snap at the waist, hands it off. Sheets bottled up in the backfield. Flags come in from either side. He breaks off a couple of tacklers, dives his way to the end zone, and it'll come up short. And now we'll deal with the flags here. Holding called on the Indians. The penalty will be declined. The try will be no good, and it'll send us to a commercial break. 32-6, Hoxie in front with a 1 yard touchdown run from Braxton Monk. 10:50 to go, third quarter, 32-6, Hoxie in front here on 101.1 KFNF.
Agriculture, a hardworking industry. Built by a labor of love, blood, sweat, and tears. An industry that is constantly changing at an increasing rate with not enough hours in the day. Nutrien Ag Solutions is here to help carry the burden by offering multiple financing options, in-depth soil health and productivity analysis, field-by-field seed recommendations, and industry-leading services. Nutrien, working smarter and harder. Contact your local Nutrien today.
Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Welcome back here from Oberlin, where we are, and Spick Memorial Field. Third quarter, 10:50 to go in that third quarter, 32-6. Hoxie out in front as they punch in another touchdown, their fourth straight. On a 1 yard touchdown run from Braxton Monk, had holding on the 2-point try that has been enforced on the kickoff. And so they'll kick it off from the 30 yard line. No, it wasn't enforced. And so here is the kick from Trent Finner, a high end over end boots that'll make its way 5 yards deep out of the back of the end zone for a touchback. And that's where the Oberlin Red Devils will start with a football. So Oberlin, with their first drive of the second half, have got a lot to do on it. The Red Devils, their last drive of the first half, had an inside the 5-yard line and threw an interception. And Hoxie, luckily, wasn't able to take it and turn it into points, but have taken the Red Devil two turnovers tonight and have turned them into points. Had taken the first one and turned it into points on the block punt. And have been taking care of business with a short field. So Gage Willoughby will go under center. Red Devils out of the I formation. One receiver off to the left. It's Patton Gall at the tip of the I. Takes the snap, a pitch to him. He's got it at 10, and he'll be wrapped up and brought down to the backfield. Trent Finner swarming in to wrap him up and bring him down by his shoelaces. And with 10:40 and counting to go, it'll force the Red Devils into a second down and 11 or 12 after the loss of two on the first play from scrimmage. So it'll be second down and 12 here for the Red Devils after the loss of two from Josiah Patton-Gall on the first run of the second half. Second and 12 for the Red Devils. Willoughby will go under center. Patton-Gall at the tip of the eye. One receiver out to the right. Man between them is Sowers. Takes the snap, hands it off. Patton-Gall off the left tackle. Now takes it back up the middle. And he's wrapped up and brought down with a gain of maybe a yard or two. And gets it back to the original line of scrimmage. Their first line of scrimmage on first down. They'll call it third and 11 after just a pickup of one there. So third and 11 for the Red Devils from their own 14-yard line. 9:44 and counting to go in the third quarter of play. Under center Willoughby. Heavy set off to the right. Patton-Gall at the tip of the eye. Sowers between them. Willoughby will take the snap. Hands it off. Patton-Gall got some running room. Stumbled a little bit and dove his way into a pile. And he's able to pick up a couple yards on his dive forward. And the punt team will come on for the Red Devils on fourth down and 8. So 3 and out for the Red Devils on their first drive of the second half. It'll be Garrett Immick to punt it away. The Red Devils have had a shanked punt today and a blocked punt. So give all the credit to the Hoxie defense. Here's the punt. Now it's a bad snap again. Garrett Immick picking it up and will run it off to the right and be wrapped up and brought down in the backfield behind the 10-yard line. So the ball was at the 17. They're going to place this on just the other side of the 5 at about the 6. It's a loss of 11 there for Garrett Immick. And for his first rushing attempt of the season, that's not how I think he saw that going. So first down and 10 now for Hoxie again inside the Red Devil 10-yard line. They started at the 11 with their first drive after a 54-yard kick return. And now it'll be first down and 10 for Hoxie. First and goal for Hoxie from the 6-yard line. Bell out of the shotgun, takes the snap, hands it off. Sheets is wrapped up and brought down right away for a loss of a couple yards. It was Caden Sowers and Josiah and Theodore Butterfield, running in, wrapping him up and bringing him down right away. And so Hoxie will now have second down and goal from the 8-yard line. From the 7 is what they're going to call it. So just a loss of one there for Sheets. On the handoff, second down and goal for the Indians from the 70-yard line of the Red Devils. Bell out of the shotgun, takes the snap, hands it off again. This is Nicholson up the middle, who's kaboomed on the turf with a hip throw over the backside there from Easton Nicholson. And he goes down. He was kaboomed out of the Smith Memorial Field turf by Garrett Immick. And it'll bring up third down and goal here for the Indians. From the 6-yard line, Easton Nicholson with just his second carry on the night. So third and goal for the Indians from the 6-yard line. See what head coach Lance Barr wants to draw up here. Has drawn up some trickery in these situations so far today. Two receivers off to the left, one to the right here for Bell, who's out of the shotgun. Nobody in the backfield with him, sends a man in motion. Left to right, he comes behind him. Bell takes the snap, looking to throw it out to his right, still rolling, looking, fires, and it's to Trent Finner, but it'll be knocked out of his hands by Talon Savage, right at the goal line and in the end zone. And the Red Devils stand tall on third and goal, and how can they do it on fourth and goal from the 6-yard line? So 6 Hoxie drives today. 4 of which have started in Red Devil territory, And three of those four have started in the red zone. Two of those four have started with inside the 10-yard line. Fourth and goal here for the Indians from the 6-yard line. 7:34 and counting to go in the third. 7:34, excuse me. Standing still on the scoreboard in the third quarter. 32-6. Bell to the shotgun. Man on his hip. Sheets now transfers over to the right. Two receiver to the left. None to the right. Bell takes the snap. Looking to throw it out to the right. He's flushed out of the pocket. Throws it back to the right. And the pass is caught in the end zone for a touchdown by Sam Watkins. Gage Willoughby deflected the pass into his hands, and it's a touchdown for Hoxie from 6 yards out, and the Indians are out in front 38-6, and Gage Willoughby throws his hands out of the air saying, "What else could I have done there? There's nothing I could have done." And it's a 6-yard touchdown pass to Sam Watkins, his third reception of the night for 21 yards, and now a touchdown pass. Another one from Duncan Bell is third. Trent Fenner will be on to attempt the PAT. The kick is up and through the uprights. And so it is 39-6. Hoxie out in front here with 7:28 to go in the third quarter of play. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, more Oberlin Red Devil football here on 101.1 KFNF.
Grill has served you pretty well and served you up some pretty tasty meals over the years. Why not treat yourself to a grill that's portable? Yeah, a Halo Grill, where smoke meets innovation. Available at R&M Service Center in Oberlin. The Prime Series of battery-powered pellet grills from Halo offers a versatile outdoor cooking solution that offers real smoke flavor and quality performance. With four different sizes available, you could even take one camping. Learn more about the Halo Grills at R&M Service Center, downtown Oberlin.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Where hometown charm meets fresh market dreams, Ray's Grocery in downtown Oberlin is a feast for the senses. Hand-picked produce, sizzling steaks, and hearty roasts await your dinner table. Quality soars in every aisle. And when the lunch bell rings, their deli dishes out delights that'll turn your midday meal into a culinary escape on select days. See store for details. Shopping at Ray's is a breeze, leaving the heavy lifting to them as they escort your groceries right to your car. Experience the difference at Ray's Grocery. Fresh, friendly, and always local. Ray's Grocery in downtown Oberlin.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Back here from Smick Memorial Field, coming out of the touchdown here from Hoxie to make it 39-6. And they do something that Oberlin has not seen all year long, and that's actually attempt a PAT. And not something that Smick Memorial Field sees a lot anymore. It did in its glory days, but not a lot anymore. And Trent Fenner put it right down the uprights to make it 39-6. It was a touchdown pass from Duncan Bell to Sam Watkins that Gage Willoughby deflected right at the goal line, and Watkins caught it at the pylon and dove in. Willoughby will go under center here. He's got Caden Sowers directly behind him. Off to the right is Pattengall. Takes the snap, fakes it once, hands it off to Pattengall. Got some running room at the 20, at the 15 to the 20 before he's wrapped up and brought down there. So a solid pickup on first down for the Red Devils. Brings up second down and 5 from the 20-yard line. Josiah Pattengall with his 16th carry of the night for 94 yards. 39-6. Hoxie out in front by 33. 6:57 and counting to go here in the third quarter of play. Oberlin with a football. Second down and 5 from their own 20-yard line. Willoughby will go under center. I formation look here for the Red Devils. Willoughby with a heavy set to the left, takes the snap, fakes the handoff, QB run off to the left side. He's at the 20 before he's wrapped up and met right there and pushed out of bounds by Braden Sheets. And so that play will go for maybe a tip of the football that'll bring up third down to 5 for the Red Devils. So Third and five for the Red Devils from their own 20-yard line. Their first possession went three and out. Another bad snap on the punt. And Garrett Emick was sacked 11 yards behind the line of scrimmage. It set up Hoxie. It took them four tries to get into the end zone, but they did make it 39-6. And now here's Oberlin on third and five from the 20. Willoughby takes the snap, fakes the handoff. He's flushed out of the pocket, looking, throws it up. It goes off of his hands, slipped out of his hands, I should say, and it was diving its way to the 20-yard line, almost coming in to pick it off was Duncan Bell, but instead it'll fall down onto the turf for an incompletion, and it'll bring out fourth down. So second time I think that's happened tonight. That kind of happened on the first interception that Gage Willoughby threw, or that interception that Gage Willoughby threw there towards the tail end of the first half where it just slipped out of his hands. This is a clean snap to Emick, who gets a high boot that'll carry him over towards the 40, bounce there, and then roll out of bounds at the opposing 35-yard line. We'll see where they want to mark it out of bounds. They're going to make up a couple of steps, and they'll say it went out of bounds at about the 38-yard line. So that's where Hoxie will take over. First time in a long while that they've had to kind of go on a long drive here, and by long they have to go 42 yards to get another score. They lead 39-6 over your Oberlin Red Devils with 6:27 to go here in the third quarter of play. Red Devils two drives in the second half, both of them going three and out. Not the half that Brandon Hardwick maybe wanted out of the break. Defensively, the Red Devils maybe found something there, forcing Hoxie to go to the four downs to get to the end zone. And now Bell will guard the shotgun. He's got two receivers split out wide to the right, two close to the left. Bell sends a man in motion left to right across the line at Sheets. He takes the snap, looking to throw it out to the right. Now we'll throw a home run ball. Has a man, Braxton Monk, who goes for the one-handed catch at the 15, but comes up just a bit short, and it'll bring up second down. Man, oh man, he had Braxton Monk streaking down the middle of the football field as he had his man beat over the middle there. Stuck out the bear paw for the one-handed catch and came up just a bit short on it, and it'll bring up second down and 10 here for the Indians from the 37-yard line. So just the fourth incompletion today for Duncan Bell. 6:21 to go in the third quarter. Hoxie with a football. Second and 10 from the 37-yard line. Bell under center. Takes the snap, hands it off. It's Sheets, who went off the right side, cuts back up the middle, gets it out across the 40-yard line, and the clock will start to move here in the third quarter with 6:10 and counting to go now after the pickup there from Braden Sheets for 4 yards. Sheets just with 7 carries on the night for 40 yards. 5:57 and counting to go in the third quarter of play. 39-6, Hoxie out in front. They lead by 33. So the Red Devils trying to get a big stop here. I formation. And now they're going to have a delay of game called. Took a while. They were trying to draw them off sides there on 3rd and 6 from the Red Devil 39-yard line. And so that'll mark them back 5 yards. Oberlin tonight, folks, no penalties. Hoxie, on the other hand, now their fourth penalty for 25 yards. But Hoxie will still have the football. Now instead of 3rd and 5, it's 3rd and 11. That's not what Coach Barr wanted. He wanted to try to get Oberlin to go offsides. They stay assignment sound, stay on the line of scrimmage, and it's Hoxie that has a false start. Bell to the shotgun, no one in there back there with him. Three receivers to the right, none to the left, takes a snap, throws down the flat, pass caught by Sheets to the 35 to the 40, still on his feet to the 35, trucks the man, dives his way to the sticks. Did he get enough to pick up the first down? No, they're going to mark him about a half yard short, and it'll bring up fourth down and decision time here for Lance Barr. I'm sure the decision will be go for it with fourth down and less than a football length away from the first down. So they'll call it 4th and 1, pickup of 12 through the air on the wide receiver screen. So the Red Devils trying to stand tall here. Fourth down and one for Hoxie. Here's the snap. It's a pitch out to Sheets. He's got it at the 35. Cuts back. There's the first down as he dives his way out of the 35-yard line. So he needed just a yard, and he picked up a few more than that, taking it from the 34 to the 30. Pick up a four for Braden Sheets, who's now got eight carries on the night for 44 yards. And a new set of downs with 4:49 to go in the third quarter of play here for the Hoxie Indians, who are up 39-6, trying to make it a 41-point game if they can get a touchdown and a two-point conversion. Bell will go under center. I formation look again for the Indians. First down and 10 from the 30. Here's the snap. Hand off to Sheets again. He was able to get a couple of blockers and get a nice hole as he makes his way out near the 30, the 25-yard line before he's finally wrapped up and brought down. Pick up a four there on first down to bring up second down and six. So second and six for the Indians from the Red Devil 26-yard line. Started with a football at their own 37 after a successful punt for the Red Devils. Bell under center, I formation look again, takes the snap, fakes the handoff. He's flushed out of the pocket right away, almost brought down, avoids the sack. Now he's on his horse. He's at the 25-20, 15 to the 10 before he's finally wrapped up and pushed out of bounds just in front of the 10 at the 11-yard line. Duncan Bell, who was flushed out of the pocket right away. It was a QB design rollout pass to the right, and flushing him out right away was Caden Sowers. Just couldn't come up with a sack. He picks up 15 on it anyway. Picks up 15 on it there, does Duncan Bell, and it'll bring up first down and 10 again for the Indians from the 12-yard line of the Red Devils. Close eye formation look here. Bell under center, takes the snap, hands it off to Sheets, who's off the right side of the 10 before he's tripped up and brought down there at the line of scrimmage by Garrett Emick, but he stumbles forward for a couple of yards to get inside the 10 at about the 9. Pickup of 3 on first down. Pickup of 2, they're going to say, there for Braden Sheets. So second down and 8 now for the Indians. 3:30 and counting to go in the third quarter. 39-6. Hoxie out in front. Shotgun set here for Bell. Has Sheets on his hip in the backfield. Heavy set line. Fakes the handoff. No, he does hand it off to Sheets, who will be wrapped up and brought down. The Red Devil defense doing a great job stopping the run. Tyler Osmeyer finishing him off, but the original hit at the line of scrimmage was by Caden Sowers, who flew in through a hole. Only a pickup of 1. It'll bring up 3rd down and 7. So 3rd and 7 here for the Indians from the Red Devil 9, 2:53 and counting to go in the third quarter of play. Braxton Monk has made his way onto the football field. Duncan Bell will run the play in from head coach Lance Barr on the far sideline. 2:43 and counting to go in the third quarter. 39-6, Red Hoxie Indians out in front. Bell will go out of the shotgun. One receiver to the right, one to the left. Takes the snap. Bell looking to throw, and the pass is caught by Monk of the 2. Cuts back there, and he makes his way into the end zone as he slips through the fingertips of Gage Willoughby on a cutback and dove for the pylon to get into the end zone. And Hoxie is on the scoreboard again. It's now 45-6. So a 39-point game at 45-6. Trent Finner on to attempt the PAT. He's ready 1-for-1. The hold from Sheets. The kick is up, and it is no good. Wide to the left. So the score will remain 45-6 with 2:27 to go here in the third quarter of play. It is Hoxie 45, Oberlin 6. This is Oberlin Red Devil football here on 101.1 KFNF.
Of banks to choose from, but there's one bank with 13 Northern Kansas locations to help your financial goals become a reality. The bank. No, not the bank. The bank that provides the needed experience you deserve. The bank's full range of banking services includes personal, commercial, and home loans, specialty ag financing, investments, and more. That's why they're the bank to go to. Come to where the difference is better. The bank. Member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Looking for better rates on loans or deposits or need some financial advice, look no further. United Northwest Federal Credit Union has been offering premier financial services to Decatur, Rawlins, and Norton communities for over 75 years. With locations in Norton and Oberlin, we are ready to help you grow and prosper. Experience superior member service by joining the United Northwest Federal Credit Union family. For everything we do for you. Find us on the web at www.unwfcu.org and CUA Insured, Equal Housing Lender.
Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Trent Finner's kick goes through the back of the end zone for a touchback, and the Red Devils will start with a football out of the Hoxie Indian touchdown with it at first down and 10 from their own 15. Oberlin with two drives here in the second half, and both of them have went three and out. Hoxie with three drives. Their first drive was set up on the opening kickoff to start the second half on a 54-yard kick return. A couple of plays later, they ran into the end zone and just scored again on a drive that started at the 38-yard line of their own. Now Oberlin, first down and 10 from the 15. Willoughby under center has a man directly behind him. Fakes it to him. Hands it off to Pattengall. Stutter step still on his feet as he carries his way out near the 20-yard line. And it'll bring up second down and six for the Red Devils after the pickup of four from Josiah Pattengall. So it'll bring up second down and six for the Red Devils from the 15-yard line. Just in front of the 20 at about the 19, call it. 18. 45-6, 1:54 to go in the third quarter. I formation set here for Gage Willoughby. Willoughby takes the snap, hands it off. Pattengall off the right side, gets to the 20 before he's wrapped up and brought down. And another third down here, this time for the Red Devils. It'll be third and about five after a pickup of one on the ground with the legs of Josiah Pattengall, who have now rushed for 99 yards on the evening. So Gus Simic comes running in and will run the play in. The Red Devils, two plays, have gained 5 yards. Now need this last play here to gain five and try to move the sticks. I formation set again here for the Red Devils. They go heavier to the set to the left. Pattengall is at the tip of the eye. Willoughby calls out the signals, takes the snap, hands it off to Sowers, who's met, and then gets off of him, and finally is met again at the line of scrimmage and brought down for a gain of nothing. And it'll bring up fourth down and decision time for Brandon Hardwick, who's got a fourth and five to end the third quarter, maybe, as they're going to have to get off one more play before the end of the third quarter. And it looks like the punt team is running on for Brandon Hardwick and his squad with 41 seconds to go in the third quarter. So Garrett Emick back deep to punt it away from the 10-yard line. Braxton Monk to receive for the Indians just in front of the 20. Here's the kick. It'll be a sideways spinning kick that'll take a bounce at the 35, roll to about the 30, and that's where the Red Devils will pick it up and down it just in front of the 30-yard line with 22.2 seconds left in the third quarter. 45-6, Oberlin trying to stop a Hoxie touchdown to keep the game going. One Hoxie score, and the game will be over. So Oberlin does not want that. 22.2 seconds to go, 45-6, Hoxie out in front, and it's really been a lot of damage that the Red Devils wish they could have back, but Hoxie is just taking care of short field. 22.2 seconds to go. I formation look here. Fakes the handoff to the fullback. Handoff to Sheets. He's off the left side. Gets out across the 35, nearing the 40 before he's finally wrapped up and brought down on first down. And that'll take us to the end of the third quarter if Hoxie doesn't want to snap the ball, and it looks like they don't. So a pickup of seven to end the half, to pickup of six to end the quarter. And we head to the fourth here from Smick Memorial Field. It is Hoxie 45, Oberlin 6. This is Oberlin Red Devil football here on 101.1 KFNF.
Improve efficiency and add value to your property with a functional and well-designed workshop from the experts at VAC Construction. With a new limited-time special offer, they're making it even more affordable to get a new workshop with a power lift door that creates maximum versatility for ag machinery, aircraft, commercial operations, and more. Learn more and cash in on this offer today at vapconstruction.com. That's vapconstruction.com.
Us all kinds of surprises, but Ward Drug in Oberlin, Kansas is always there to help. From friendly delivery, diabetic supplies, and home medical equipment, to braces, crutches, and sports medical supplies, Ward Drug ensures you're always prepared. And with personalized care and expert advice, every visit feels like you're part of the family. So when life surprises you, trust Ward Drug to keep you moving forward. Visit warddrugstore.com today or see them at 142 South Penn Avenue in Oberlin.
Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
On the fourth quarter here from Smith Memorial Field, and the play clock has started. Hoxie took a little bit of time coming out of the timeout, and the fans here for the Red Devils trying to get a little bit loud here. Bell out of the shotgun. Got a man on his hip. Takes the snap. Hands it off to Sheets. Sheets off the right side. He's at the 40. And still on his feet there as he takes it across the 40 into Red Devil territory to the 35-yard line. It looked like Braden Sheets, who was down to the 40, somehow kept the legs turning. Takes it out to the 35. And so after his pickup of four, he picks up another chunk of yardage there. So a pickup of seven there for Braden Sheets. And Hoxie has first down and 10 from the 35. It's a pitch out to Sheets. Sheets has it at the 35. Cuts back there behind his blockers as he dives his way across the 30-yard line and gets it to about the 29 to bring up second down and short here. So Oberlin trying to prevent a touchdown to keep the game going. Hoxie trying to score a touchdown to end the contest. Second down and four for the Indians now. From just across the 30 at the 29-yard line of the Red Devils. Hoxie will break the huddle. Bell will go out of the shotgun. He's got Sheets on his hip. Heavy set to the right. Takes the snap. Hands it off the left side. Sheets cuts back up the middle. Gets the first down and across the 25. Diving his way inside the 25 to the 24. Pickup of six to move the sticks. And it's another first down with 10:40 to go in the fourth quarter of play for Hoxie with a 45-6 lead. It's a 41-point game, so a touchdown will extend it over that 45-point rule. Red Devil defense trying to come up clutch here and keep them out of the end zone. Maybe give their offense a chance to strike a tough Hoxie into defense. Out of the eye formation, Sheets at the tip of the eye, takes the snap, hands it off to Sheets, who's wrapped up at the line of scrimmage, squeaks through it, and finally wrapped up by the Red Devil secondary with a pickup of a few yards on first down to bring up second down at about six. They're going to call it seven, so just a pickup of three for Braden Sheets, who's certainly had a ton of carries here in the second half. He's now out to 16 carries on the night for 79 yards. Second and seven for the Indians from the Red Devil 21-yard line. 9:53 and counting to go in the third quarter. Eye formation look. It's a pitch out to Sheets. Sheets has it. Holt flag will come in. He cuts back there, makes his way inside the 20 to the 15-yard line before he's wrapped up and brought down. And this one will be coming back 10 yards, I assume, with a holding penalty called on the Indians. And so Oberlin catches a break there as Hoxie was just slashing him from rushing yards. And instead, Hoxie will move back 10 yards. They had a touchdown pass, two touchdowns, one a pass, the other a run, both called off of the other an interception run for a touchdown called off via holding. Now it'll bring up second down here and long for the Indians. As what are they going to call this? Second down and 18. From the 30 5 yard line. I for out of the shotgun is Bell. Sends a man in motion left to right. Takes the snap. Fakes the jet sweep. Bell flushed out of the pocket. Rolling out to his right. Now he's going to turn and scramble. He's at the 35, making his way out to the 30 yard line before he's finally wrapped up and brought down. Excuse me. They are at the 30 for the original line of scrimmage. He took the snap at the 35 and rushed his way out to the near side of the field and was able to maybe gain a half yard or two to bring up third down and long here for Coach Lance Barr and the Hoxie Indians, and they're awaiting the play call as they're going to say Duncan Bell did not get anything on that rush, and so it'll bring up third down. If anything, he got about the length of a football. Third down and 15 now, they call it. So they did say he was able to pick up three. Must have scampered just at the last second. Here's the snap. Bell looking, throws down to the flat. Pass caught by Sheets. He's at the 30, the 25. Still on his feet as he dives his way to the 20-yard line. Sticks were sitting all the way inside the 15-yard line. So it'll bring up fourth down and decision time here for Lance Barr. And that little wide receiver screen pass has worked a couple of times. It picks up 10 here for Hoxie. Braden Sheets, who did not have many receptions coming into tonight, just 6 receptions, has had 3 already in the game, and they're going to go for a PAT field goal from Finner, and the kick is up and no good, wide to the right. So that was a 37-yard field goal try, and the Red Devils will now get the football, first down and 10 from the 20-yard line. And no, they're going to take it back to the 15. So that's where the Red Devils will have the football, first down and 10 from the 15. Interesting choice there by Coach Lance Barr, and we're going to continue playing here in the fourth quarter. And I think even the officials were surprised at that one. So a missed 37-yard attempts. Willoughby will go to the I formation here from his own 15. Willoughby takes the snap, hands it off. This is Pattengall off the right side. Takes it out across the 15, nearing the 20, before he's wrapped up and brought down. It'll bring up second down for the Red Devils with 8:44 and counting to go, second and 7. So already an improvement for these Red Devils from last year, who lost 46-0 to the Hoxie Indians, and it was over by halftime. They've made it into the fourth quarter and have a chance to go the full distance here if they're able to get a touchdown. So pickup of 3 on that last play from Pattengall sets up a second down and 7 for the Red Devils from their own 18. Willoughby out under center. One receiver to the right takes the snap. He's looking to throw, still looking. It's a screen, and he tried to get it out to Caden Sowers, or it's just a little flare route there off of the line for Caden, and instead it'll be thrown just short of his hands at about the 20 is where he was wanting the football, and that was about the line of scrimmage as Willoughby was flushed out of the pocket right away. It'll bring up 3rd and 7. Third and 7 for the Red Devils from the 18-yard line of their own. Have not been across the 40 in the second half. Have had 3 drives, all of them 3 and outs. And Willoughby comes up to the line here with one receiver out to the right. Nobody to the left. It's a 4-man front I formation look. Willoughby takes the snap, fakes the handoff. He runs out to his right, still looking, throws it over the middle. The pass is almost picked off as he was looking for Tyler Osmeyer at the 25. And running in and almost picking it off from behind there was Braxton Monk, who's had himself a heck of a game tonight against the Oberlin Red Devils. And he'll force a fourth down and another punt from the Red Devils. So 4 drives here in the second half for Oberlin. All of them have resulted in 3 and outs, and have not seen the football go across the 40-yard line since that 30-yard pass and catch. And it's a clean snap, clean punt. Braxton Monk will field it at the 30-yard line. He cuts back there, still on his feet at the 35, trying to make some room and some distance as he gets out across the 35. And that's where Hoxie will take over with the football just across the 40-yard line at about the 38. 7:54 to go in the fourth quarter, 45-6. Hoxie out in front of Oberlin. And they'll have first down and 10. They're calling it from the 37. So Oberlin again It was three and out here in the second half. And I, like I said in the pregame show, this is a Hoxie Indian defense that is just outstanding. He's only allowed 22 points on the season coming in. Now just 28 with a six that Oberlin has put up. Shotgun set for Bell. Man on his hip of the backfield. Two receivers to the right, none to the left. Bell takes the snap. He's looking to throw. Flush out of the pocket to the right. And it's going to be brought down and sacked. Ball is coughed up. Garrity McFalls on top of the football. And the Red Devils have it and are back in business with a football at the 21-yard line of the Hoxie Indians as Duncan Bell coughs up the football. It's the first fumble of the season for the Indians. And it was caused on the sack by the Red Devils. Garrett Emick with a fumble recovery. And so the Red Devils have some life here with 7:48 to go. It's a fumble from Duncan Bell. First turnover for Hoxie on the night. Willoughby will go out of the shotgun here. He's got a man on his hip, Patton Gall. Takes the snap, hands it off, Patton Gall at the 20. Still on his feet at the 15 as he dives his way to the 10-yard line or close to it. They'll mark him at the 11. And a big pickup on first down for the Red Devils. Got to about the 12, excuse me. Needs to get to the 11 to pick up the first down. Pickup of 9 there on first down for Josiah Patton-Gall, who was seeing green grass in front of him. But the Indians come up with a big stop to keep him out of the end zone. 45-6, 7:17 to go in the third quarter of play. Red Devils coming off of a strip sack fumble, trying to use it to their advantage as they're deep in Hoxie Indian territory. Willoughby out of the shotgun. Man on his hip of the backfield. Willoughby takes the snap. QB design run off the left side, and it'll be wrapped up and brought down for a loss behind the line of scrimmage by about a yard. It'll bring up third down and 2 for the Red Devils from just inside the 15-yard line, excuse me. They're going to call it from about the 13, I bet. So the Red Devils, now the third time they have had it across the 40 tonight. They've scored on one. The other one, they threw a pick inside the 5-yard line and now have third down and 2. Willoughby under center. Sowers directly behind him. Takes the snap. It's a handoff to Sowers, who plunges his way forward, and he did not get anywhere close to the sticks. They say he maybe gained the length of a football, and it'll bring up fourth down and 2 for the Red Devils from the 13-yard line of the Indians. So now the Red Devils, who are threatening here with 6:04 to go to score and try to punch in another touchdown. Hoxie has only allowed one touchdown since allowing 2 in week 1. So over the last 3 weeks, have only allowed one touchdown. It came to Ellis. Only 8 points in that time, too. 4th and 2 for the Red Devils. I formation. Willoughby under center, takes the snap, hand off to Patton-Gall. He's got the 2 yards and dives his way to the 10-yard line. When in doubt, give it to Josiah, and he's able to pick up 3 and move the sticks and give the Rebels first down and goal at the 10-yard line. So Josiah Patton-Gall, 21 carries, 114 yards on the night. And trying to punch in a late touchdown here against a stellar Hoxie Indian defense, who had their backs against the wall from the get-go on this drive after Duncan Bell commits his 5th turnover of the season. Now has 4 picks and a fumble. And that is the one chink in that armor for Duncan Bell, who's had an amazing game otherwise. 45-6, 5:07 and counting to go. Willoughby under center, and a delay of game will be called. And so the clock ticking down there, and you wondered if the Red Devils realized that. And so now to bring up first down and goal for the Red Devils from the 15. 5:05 left in the fourth quarter of play, 45-6. Hoxie in front, Oberlin trying to come in with a late touchdown. Shotgun set here. No, under center is Willoughby, excuse me. Sends a man in motion out of the backfield. That's Patton-Gall. Takes the snap. Hands it off. No, it's a little trickery to Caden Sowers. He's at the 10. Cuts back in the 5. And he's in the end zone for a touchdown. Caden Sowers puts it on a board for the Red Devils with 4:57 to go in the fourth quarter of play. So the lead cuts down 45-12 now. And how about that trickery? It looked like Willoughby was going to roll out to the right, and they had Pattengall roll out to the left, and they had Pattengall kind of on a wheel route looking for the end zone. Instead, Willoughby stops dead in his tracks, hands it off to Caden, who is right behind the center, and took it up the middle, cut back of the five, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown from 15 yards out. Now a two-point conversion try here with 4:57 to go. The snap. Runs it off the right side, looking to get in the end zone. It'll be wrapped up and brought down. Flags come in. Two-point try is no good on the direct snap to Josiah Pattengall. It's going to be holding called on the offense. The penalty is declined, and so Oberlin will kick off to Hoxie. We're going to take a quick break. 4:57 to go in the fourth. 15-yard touchdown run for Caden Sowers, and the Red Devils continue the game when we come back. It's 45-12. Hoxie in front here on 101.1 KFNF.
Major Oil and Hoxie will deliver bulk fuel right to your door or farm. Farm diesel, highway diesel, gas or propane. Also oils from quarts to totes up to 275 gallon. Major Oil has been servicing Northwest Kansas for over 40 years. Give them a call today at 785-675-3903. That's 785-675-3903. Or stop by Major Oil in downtown Hoxie. You'll be glad you did.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
45-12, Hoxie in front, but the Red Devils will force it to go the full four quarters with a big touchdown run there to make it 45-12 from Caden Sowers on a little trickery where the Red Devils made it look like they were going to go with a throw to Josiah Pattengall on a wheel route. Off to the left side instead, Willoughby stops dead in his tracks and didn't really pitch it or anything to Sowers. Handed it off to him behind the center. He cuts back a couple of times and gets into the end zone. Gus Simic has it lined up and will kick it off from the 30. And here is the kick. It'll be a high end over end boot that Monk will take at the 15, at the 20, to the 25 before he's finally wrapped up and brought down there. And Monk on his first kick return of the second half took it for 54 yards. This time just takes it for a few and gets the Indians out to just in front of the 20 at the just in front of the 30 at about the 29 yard line. That's where they'll take over with 4:36 and counting to go here in quarter number four. 45-12. Hoxie out in front, and the clock is running. Oh no. As it is a running clock here. So Bell will go out of the shotgun. He's got a man on his hip. That's Sheets. Bell takes the snap at the chest, hands it off to Sheets, who's got some running room off the 30. Caroms his way to the 35 before he's wrapped up and brought down. It'll bring up second down and short with 4 minutes and counting to go here in the fourth quarter. 45-12. So Oberlin has done something that no team has done since week one. And that scored two touchdowns against the Hoxie Indians. And they have held them under 50 points, which is something that no team has done since week one, when Osborne held them to just 20 in a 20-14 loss. 3:39 and counting to go. Bell out of the shotgun again, takes the snap, hands it off to Sheets off the left side. He's still got some running room, takes it out across the 35 to the 40, and that might move the sticks as he picks up 7 on that run after picking up 4 on the first down play. And so Braden Sheets now with 18 carries for 90 yards on the night. 45-12 Hoxie, 3:22 and counting to go in the fourth quarter of play. It'll be first down and 10 for Hoxie right at the 40-yard line. Eye formation look here from the Indians. Sheets at the top of the eye, takes the snap, hands it off to him, and Sheets off the right side, cuts back up the middle, and picks up a few yards before he's tripped up and falls down. And so pickup of 3 on first down to bring up second down and 7. No, they'll call it 4, make it second down and 6, with 2:50 and counting to go in the fourth quarter of play. 45-12. Oberlin scoring just a second ago. That was the first score of the second half for either team. Very interesting. No, excuse me. First score of the fourth quarter is what I meant to say there. Sorry, not the first score of the second half, but the first score of the fourth quarter. Hawks out of the I formation here, and whistles will blow the play dead. Oberlin calls the timeout. And we will keep it right here. Like to thank some more of our sponsors here of today's contest. Would like to thank High Plains Podiatry, Hoxie State Insurance, J.D. Skiles, Nutrient Ag Solutions of Hoxie, Nutrient Ag Solutions of Oberlin, R&M Service Center, Ray's Grocery, The Bank in downtown Oberlin, United Northwest Federal Credit Union, VAP Construction, Ward Drugstore, Watkins Realty and Insurance, Woofeter Pump and Well, and Equity Bank. Big thank you to all of them for helping us support Oberlin Red Devil and Hoxie Indian Athletics here on 101.1. KFNF. 2:25 to go in quarter number four. 45-12. Hoxie out in front coming out of the Oberlin Red Devil timeout. So, yes, I did say that wrong. It was the first score of the fourth quarter. Oberlin's touchdown there with the Caden Sowers 15-yard touchdown run on the trickery. And take you through that play again. They sent Josiah out of the backfield, and it made it look like he was going to run it on a wheel route. They were going to run a wheel route to him, or Willoughby would roll out to his left or to the far side of the football field there and pitch it to him in the end zone. Instead, Willoughby stopped as he was just about to break to the left, came back towards the middle of the field, and then just handed it off, kind of just, you know, from a normal handshake distance, just handed it off to Sowers, who went behind his center, cut back at the five, and got to the end zone for the touchdown. Second down and six here for the Indians. It's a snap, handoff to Sheets. He's got some running over the 25. At the 35, still on his feet to the 30, moves the sticks inside the 30-yard line with a great pickup on second down. That'll bring up first down and 10 here for the Indians from just across the 30-yard line, or just in front of the 25. See where they want to mark this. Second down and 16 now in quarter number four. And a pickup of 10. That is Braden Sheets' longest run since he ran for 26 on his first carry. That set up a 2-yard touchdown run just a couple of seconds later from him. 45-12, 1:56 to go with the fourth quarter of play. Hoxie will go under center. Bell takes the snap and will take an E. And so a couple of more knees, and that might do it, as Oberlin is going to allow the time to tick off maybe, or are they going to want to call a timeout? Try to get the ball back and score another touchdown, as we kind of saw this from St. Francis last week when Oberlin attempted a knee. They called a timeout because they wanted to score again, because it could come down to point differential to get in to the postseason. But this one just being a over that 21-point threshold, I think Brandon Hardwick's going to let it go down as the clock ticking its way under a minute and 10. And Sheets will take, Bell will take another knee. And probably one, maybe two more, and the game will come to a close as it'll now be third down as the clock ticks under a minute. But what a game. Red Devils hold Hoxie under 50 points for the first time in 3 weeks. They score more points than any team has scored against Hoxie in the last 3 weeks. And they score the second most amount of points that Hoxie has let up all year, as they'll take another knee, and that should just about seal it, as the team's kind of starting to congratulate everybody up front, congratulating the officials as well, as Coach Lance Barr now walking out saying, all right, guys, let's line this thing up, and that's what they're going to do as the time will tick off, and the Oberlin Red Devils will be handed their second loss of their season, their first in 2 weeks. And we'll drop to 3-2. Hoxie now 5-0, and they will probably keep that number one number next to the record in many of the polls with a nice win tonight, 45-12 over the Oberlin Red Devils. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, get you final numbers, take a look at some scores across the state of Kansas as well. It's a Hoxie Indian winner tonight, 45-12 over the Oberlin Red Devils. It's Oberlin Red Devil football here on 101.1 KFNF.
The First State Bank of Hoxie is ready, willing, and able to serve all your banking needs. Whether it's a checking or savings account, CDs, personal or farm loans, First State Bank of Hoxie can be your bank. They are large enough to serve you, but small enough to know you. And First State Bank of Hoxie is a proud supporter of the Hoxie Indians. Go fight, win with First State Bank of Hoxie, member FDIC.
At Nutrien Ag Solutions, they believe in the four R's. One, the right kinds of fertilizer and chemical to apply. Two, the right time to apply fertilizer and chemicals. Three, the right amount of fertilizer and chemical to use. And four, the right place to apply fertilizer and chemical. Stop by Nutrien Ag Solutions and sharpen up your four R's before planting season arrives. They will be glad to work the four R's into your farming program. That's Nutrien Ag Solutions, just west of Hoxie, where they sell fertilizer by specialize in service.
Have you heard these three rules of nature? Rule number one, weather always wins. Rule number two, sometimes weather plays rough. Drought, freeze, flood, hail, lightning, high winds, they can all ruin your crop and your livelihood. And rule number three, multi-peril and crop hail insurance from Watkins Insurance in Hoxie. Visit Dan and Steve at Watkins Insurance soon. They can show you a multi-peril crop insurance plan that puts you and nature on a level playing field. That's right, individual protection plans from Watkins, such as RP and YP. Watkins Insurance, an equal opportunity provider.
Wolfter Pump and Well Incorporated of Hoxie is your state licensed Kansas Water Well Association member. They can help you with all your water needs. They service and drill stock wells, domestic wells, environmental wells, and irrigation wells. Let them handle all your water maintenance problems, from drilling to water pump installation. They will do it all. Give Wolfter Pump and Well a call today, 785-675-3991, or stop in and visit them on Highway 24 in Hoxie.
Bad roofs.
Say yes to AquaShield Roofing.
With over 17 years of providing A-plus services. Roofs, siding, gutters, windows, doors, and spray foam insulation. Plus, AquaShield Roofing offers a workmanship warranty. For your free estimate, give them a call at 785-475-2533. AquaShieldRoofing.com.
Here come the men in black trucks for all your home needs.
Red Devil Athletics. On today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Back here from Oberlin, where it is a Hoxie Indian winner tonight, 45-12 here at Smick Memorial Field. The Red Devils drop to 3-2 on the season, while Hoxie improves to 5-0. Red Devils now 1-1 in district play, while Hoxie is out to a perfect 2-0 start. A lot of good out of the game for the Red Devils, even though they'd like to have a few of their fourth down punts back and just could never really get a good offensive flow going tonight. And when they did, they just weren't able to use the red zone to their advantage. They were able to score a couple of touchdowns, but Hoxie all over the Oberlin Red Devils tonight, 45-12. Definitely a lot different game than it was last year, where Hoxie came out attacked from the get-go and they looked perfect last year. This year had to take on the Red Devils pretty tough, as it was 6-6 for a little bit, but then Hoxie would go on a nice long scoring run there that would take them all the way into the fourth quarter, and they get the win 45-12. Take you through your scoring summary here tonight, as Oberlin. Hoxie starting out the scoring tonight in the first quarter with 10 minutes and 12 seconds to go. Braden Sheets ran it in from 2 yards out to lead the Hoxie Indians down the field to make it 6-0. The two-point conversion run from Sheets would be no good. And with 10-12 to go, it was Hoxie 6, Oberlin 0. That was coming off of an Oberlin 3-and-out, in which Caden Sauer shanked the punt off of his foot and set up Hoxie with some nice field position at the 28-yard line. A couple of plays later, they're in the end zone, led it 6-0. Then Oberlin on their next drive got a big run from Josiah Pattengall on second down of 51 yards to take him inside the 10-yard line. A couple of plays later, Josiah Pattengall ran it in from 6 yards out for a touchdown run. His two-point conversion run would be no good, and we'd be knotted up at 6 apiece with 8:39 to go. Then Hoxie would get the football and drive down the field, taking it all the way inside the 10 before a penalty would knock him back a little bit. But then Duncan Bell would hit Trent Finner on a backside tee screen for a 14-yard touchdown pass. The two-point conversion run from Sheets would be good, and it would be 14-6. Hoxie out in front. Hoxie would score again after a blocked punt from the Red Devils would put it inside their own five, but again another penalty would mark them all the way back out across the 20 at about the 22, and that's where Bell would hit Finner again, this time for a 22-yard pass. Found him wide open at about the 10. He cut back and got into the end zone after breaking a couple of tackles. The two-point conversion pass from Bell to Monk would be no good, and it would be 20-6 with 55.5 ticks left in the first quarter. Oberlin would give the football back after, again, having trouble on the punt where it would go underneath Caden Sauer's legs. He would pick it up and get it back to the original line of scrimmage, and the Indians would take care of business from there, getting a one-yard touchdown run from Duncan Bell on a QB sneak. The two-point conversion pass from Bell to Watkins would be no good, and it would be 26-6 with 10:36 to go in the second quarter. That would be our final score of the first half, and that would be our halftime score of 26-6. Hoxie, on the first opening drive of the game, would get a lot of help from Braxton Monk, who took it all the way for 54 yards on the opening kickoff of the second half. Inside Red Devil territory, inside the 10 again, and he would be the one to run it in from 1 yard out on a touchdown run. The two-point conversion run by Sheets would be no good, and it would be 32-6. Duncan Bell would find Sam Watkins with 7:28 to go on a 6-yard touchdown pass to continue the scoring for the Indians to make it 39-6. It was a pass that was deflected by Gage Willoughby into the hands of Watkins, who had basically two steps to get to the end zone after he was able to make the catch, and he did, and Gage, nothing you can do about that one. 39-6 with 7:28 to go in the third. Then Hoxie would score one more time in the third with 2:27 to go on a Duncan Bell to Braxton Monk 9-yard touchdown pass this time to make it 45-6. And Oberlin would finally score again for the first time since the first quarter with 4:57 to go in the fourth on a little bit of trickery. Caden Sauer's run it in from 15 yards out for his fifth touchdown run of the season. The two-point conversion run from Pattengall in the direct snap would be no good. It would be 45-12. Hoxie outscored Oberlin 20-6 in the first quarter, 6-0 in the second, 19-0 in the third. Oberlin outscored Hoxie in the fourth, 6-0 for a 45-12 score. Take you through your individual numbers, starting with Hoxie. Braden Sheets finishes with 20 carries for 104 yards. Duncan Bell with 7 carries for 30 yards. Easton Nicholson with 2 carries for 7 yards. Braxton Monk with 3 carries for 15 yards. Duncan Bell throwing tonight 11 of 15 for 122 yards. Did have a strip sack fumble that set up the Oberlin Red Devils with great field position that ultimately led to the touchdown a couple of plays later for him in the fourth quarter. Braxton Monk with 2 receptions tonight for 21 yards. Same for Sam Watkins, but instead he had 3 receptions for 21 yards. Easton Nicholson with 1 reception for 9 yards, 35 yards, and 3 receptions for Braden Sheets, 36 yards and 2 receptions for Trent Finner. For the Oberlin Red Devils individually, Josiah Pattengall with another 100-yard game as he finishes with 21 carries for 114 yards on the night. Caden Sauer, 6 carries for 22 yards. Gage Willoughby with 5 carries for 4 yards. Garrett Emick, who had a snap go between his legs on a punt, fell on top of the football for a minus 11-yard rush. So he has 1 rush for minus 11 yards on the year. Gage Willoughby on the night throwing the football. Tough night for him after he'd been really, really good over the past couple of weeks throwing the football. Tonight, not so much. Tough night for him in that department. 1 of 6 for 30 yards and an interception. Josiah Pattengold did not attempt to pass tonight. The one completion did go to Tyler Osmeyer, though, on a nice home run ball down the middle of the field for 30 yards. Stats summary, taking a look at the team stats. Oberlin finishes with 39 total plays for 159 yards. They get 129 on the ground, 30 through the air. Hoxie, 156 on the ground, 122 through the air for a total of 278 on 47 plays. And compared to last week, that's pretty good. Hoxie, who just had 255 against Stockton, but had been getting over 300 in those two games before that. So the Red Devils hold them under 300 yards, but they still put up 45 points. And maybe if Oberlin made him go on some long drives, they'd probably have a few more yards. But it was a lot of plays inside the red zone and inside their half, the Oberlin Red Devil half of the 40. Oberlin Red Devils, how about this? No penalties tonight. That's really, really great. No penalties. They had a couple that were declined. So technically they had a couple, but both of them were declined. They had a couple of turnovers tonight, a block punt and the interception. Hoxie just one turnover, that fumble from Duncan Bell. Once again, 45-12, your final score. Hoxie with the win. We'll take a quick break. Wrap things up here from Smick Memorial Field. Hoxie with a win, 45-12.
Creative Collision in Oberlin reminds you, when involved in an accident, the insurance company will pay for towing to the shop of your choice within a reasonable distance. Not the closest shop available. No law requires you to get more than one estimate. You choose the shop and authorize the repairs. Remember, your car, your choice. Creative Collision, Oberlin's choice body shop for all your collision and restoration services. Call them at 785-470-2130 or stop by at 1843 Highway 83 in Oberlin.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Welcome back here from Oberlin, wrapping things up for a final time tonight. 45-12. It is a Red Devil winner here tonight. It is a Hoxie Indian winner here tonight as the Indians get the win 45-12. Take you through some scores from around the state of Kansas. As one score that we looked at there at halftime that was of note was that Norton game. Norton, the number one team in Class 2A, was down 7-0 at half to Beloit. Well, they scored two touchdowns, don't allow none of the second half. They win it 14-7. Dighton over Logan Palco tonight, 44-14. Sylvan Lucas all over over Lakeside, 50-0. So Sylvan Lucas off to a 5-0 start. Holcomb hands Colby their first loss, 41-7 tonight. So a tough way to go out there on your first loss of the season for Colby. Some other scores: Golden Plains all over Northern Valley, 59-14. How about that? Bulldogs very much improved from last season. As you know, Madison takes down Northern Heights 48-2 there. And some other scores from 8-man Division I action. Like I mentioned, Norton over Beloit 14-7. Little River over Canton Galva 66-6. Phillipsburg over Russell 28-7. And Kiowa County over Udall 62-12. Scott City over Hugoton 50-0. Central Plains over Gossel 50-0 at the half. And that is all the scores that we can pass along to you here at the end of this one. But is a Hoxie Indian winner by a final score of 45-12 tonight. Hoxie, next time out, they will be at home taking on the Hill City Ringnecks, who had a big matchup with St. Francis tonight. Oberlin, next match coming up next week against the Stockton Tigers on the road, as the Oberlin Red Devils looking to get back in that win column, especially in district action, as they'll meet up with the Stockton Tigers, who have not won a game and have not scored a point this season. So the Tigers will try to do it against the Red Devils next week. The Red Devils will try to keep that streak going as they'll take on the Tigers from Stockton coming up next week. We'll have all the coverage starting with pregame at 6 and kickoff at 7 o'clock right here on KFNF. Don't forget, we'll have Oberlin Red Devil volleyball basically all day long coming up tomorrow as the Oberlin volleyball tournament taking place. We'll have coverage starting at 9 a.m. and running all the way through the day. It'll also be over on our 101.1 KFNF YouTube channel. So once again, the Hoxie Indians get the win 45-12. Oberlin drops to 3-2 and 1-2 and 1-1 in district play. That'll do it for us here from Oberlin. I'm Sam Knoll, signing off, saying so long and good night.